information and entertainment of our listening audience. Any rebroadcast, transcribing, recording, or other use of this material without the expressed written consent of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated and WGNU Radio is strictly prohibited. We ask that you govern your calls within the bounds of brevity and good taste. And now, the wake-up call with Liz Brown.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, tell me, sisters. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, tell me, sisters.
To use our power. Please do not beg folks for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below, that's below me.
Revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, help me, sisters.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile.
Welcome, 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 welcome to the morning wake-up call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, 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 much to talk about. 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up. Get up. Get to me, huh? Ha, 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 ha. I wanna just share this with you, just so that you feel it, just so that you understand where we are, who we're fighting against, what we are fighting. There is a thing on YouTube that I'm gonna share a bit of it with you as I go through my this hour with you. I'm gonna share a bit of it with you. But prior to that, I got to share this with you. In Salt Lake City, I guess home of the polygamists, Ronald Dumsfield. He said, "The world faces a new type of fascism." What you talking about, Willis? What you talking about? He said, those who criticize Bush's politics are suffering from moral or intellectual confusion. He said, I want to recount this history. He quoted Winston Churchill, that trying to accommodate Hitler was a bit like feeding a crocodile, hoping it would eat you last. And then Ronald Dumsfeld said, I recount this history because once again we face similar challenges in an effort to confront the rising threat of a new type of fascism. Can we truly afford to believe that somehow, some way, vicious extremists can be appeased? Can we truly afford to return to the destructive view that America, not the enemy, is the real source of the world's trouble? Okay. We went to Iraq based on a lie. Based on a lie that you told. Thousands of Americans have died. Thousands and thousands and thousands of Americans have lost quality of life. They've lost the opportunity for decent lives because they're too busy healing and recovering and will undoubtedly spend most of their remaining days healing and recovering from the mess that you put them in. As a result of your decision, the Middle East is a mess. And yet you say that those who criticize your stupid, harmful, wicked, lawless decision, we the problem? Oh, I understand why you in Salt Lake City. Because you in a place where men have lost their minds and think that they can do anything that they want to and get away with it. You in the place of I'll stop hitting you if you would get your face out my fist. Huh. My name is Liz Brown. I'll be back. Stay with me. What is hospice care? Well, families turn to hospice care when facing the terminal illness of a loved one. The Point of Change Hospice provides an environment in which families can cope with the transition of their loved one in the supportive, loving, and comfortable setting of their own home. Through pain management, emotional counseling and support, and compassionate health care, the Point of Change Hospice treats the patient as a whole person facing end-of-life issues. Founded in 2001, the Point of Change Hospice provides physical, emotional, practical, and spiritual care for adults and children in the last phases of terminal illness. Our program, which features home services, emphasizes comfort for the dying, making it possible to remain independent for as long as possible. The Point of Change Hospice provides skilled hospice nursing, medical social services, home health aides and homemakers, occupational therapy and physical therapy, chaplain and counseling services, bereavement follow-up, and trained hospice volunteers. The Point of Change Hospice also provides physician-ordered services, medical equipment, medical supplies, medications for pain management, relief, and comfort. The Point of Change Hospice also accepts Medicare, Medicaid, and private health insurance. You don't pay for a dime. Give them a call. One of their counselors is waiting to talk to you. 535-4500. That's 535-4500. The Point of Change Hospice. Caring for families, caring for our community, and caring for you.
Connect Care, still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At Connect Care, we want you to know that yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At Connect Care, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At Connect Care, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At Connect Care, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At ConnectCare, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At ConnectCare, we still provide urgent care. And at ConnectCare, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at ConnectCare, but we're still connected to you. ConnectCare, still connected to the community.
Looking for time made just for you? Wanting to hear from some young people who are cool and well-informed? Have some questions adults just can't seem to answer? There is a place for you on WGNU Radio. Tune in Sunday nights at 5:30. You'll hear teens talk about stuff teens understand. Find out about the latest in music, sports, and other issues that matter. Finally, a talk show for teens, about teens, by teens on 9:20 a.m. 5:30 Sunday nights. Sponsored by the Central Luanga Center.
It's the information you need to know about but can't find anywhere else on the dial. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. They're coming for you. They're coming for you after, I don't know. How much of an insult is this? And again, you know, just help me with this. Help me with this, because maybe I just don't understand it, maybe I just don't get it. Ronald Dumsfeld just said that we are the fascists. Those of us who criticize this administration are the fascists. Then Homeland Insecurity Michael Chernoff said, we should have an air travel registry. That would have my background, my phone numbers, where I have been, in order for me to travel. And again, y'all, I don't know everything. But who's the fascist in this equation? Okay, what is fascist? Criticizing your government, whether your government is right or wrong, but criticizing your government, or requiring the citizens to provide the government of where you've been, who you've been talking to, where you live, what's your phone number, before you can travel on a plane somewhere in your own country. Do you hear me? Which, and again, I don't know everything, but which one of those are fascist acts? Show me your papers, please. I need your papers. Which one is fascist? Which one is fascist? Who the fascist? And I am telling you, I'm going to put something up on my website today. The scariest, jaw-dropping compilation. Yeah, it's going to be Through Brown Eyes. Check out Through Brown Eyes today. I'm going to put up a piece from YouTube that somebody put together, Hitler versus Bush. of Bush versus Hitler. If you want to do it alphabetically, Bush versus Hitler. Honest to goodness, I have never, ever, ever been. And I try to know a lot of stuff. You don't have to plug down $7, $10. You don't have to sit through 3 hours of a movie. This is a five minute adventure. Bush versus Hitler. It will be up on Through Brown Eyes today. It is the most amazing comparison. And even if you don't have audio, if you don't have an audio card, go to YouTube anyway, because or check out the website today. It's amazing. Because all it involves is you sitting there slack-jawed with your mouth wide open, reading the words that come across the screen. And I'm going to share some of the words with you when I come back in the next break. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. And the toll-free long distance is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, 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 much to talk about. One of the things I am just chilled with, as I look at all of these things, I'm chilled with the fact that so much of this stuff, it's hard to say that we can make party lines, draw some party lines with this. Democratic Senator Daniel Inouye said on Tuesday he is supporting Ned Lamont over Joe Lieberman. Now, Senator Inouye, Senator Inouye said that he is supporting Ned Lamont over Lieberman, okay? You need to understand that Senator Inouye supported Lieberman over Lamont. And why did he change his support of Lieberman? Because Lieberman said that the Democratic Party no longer represented mainstream America and that the Democratic Party had lost its values. Because he didn't win. Help me with fascists here. Help me with what a fascist is. Stay with me.
Good morning, St. Louis. 29 minutes after the hour of 6 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by New Advil PM. Northbound 55 at County Highway M and Z. There's an accident that's out in Peavely. Westbound 270 at 367 and New Florissant with 4 normal traffic. Eastbound 44 from Mraz all the way through 270 looks good. Northbound 270 at Gravelway and Marshall, you've got slow traffic going on there. Eastbound 70 at K and 79, look for slow traffic as well. Eastbound 40 from Mason all the way through 270, look for heavy volume going on there. Westbound 270 at Lindbergh and 370, again, you can expect heavy traffic there. Westbound Kingbridge traffic onto the Poplar Street Bridge. It is slow from the Illinois Bank. Westbound Eastbridge, westbound Kingbridge traffic are looking good as they roll into downtown this hour. And northbound Route 3, those approaches onto the Poplar Street Bridge, you can expect no delays. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by new Advil PM. Aches and pains keeping you up? Big news. New Advil PM is here, the multi-pain relieving power of Advil, plus a gentle sleep aid. New Advil PM. Stop hurting and start sleeping. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Saturday. For today, partly sunny in the morning, mostly cloudy throughout the day. Patchy fog early this morning. A chance of showers with a high in the mid-70s. This evening, mostly cloudy with a low in the mid-60s. Friday, mostly cloudy in the morning, partly sunny throughout the day with a high in the upper 70s. And Saturday looks like the pick of the day. It'll be partly sunny with a high around 80. Currently, we have 65 degrees at the studios of AM 920 WGNU. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
You don't have to travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else?
Where else, where else, where else? Water shirts, dryers, refrigerators, stoves, big screen televisions. It's time to go get your shop on. We're getting ready to move towards that August thing. We're doing that nesting thing. We want nice things in our homes. 3425 Union, that is the address. Union and Natural Bridge, 3425 Union, the only Sears in the city of St. Louis. Get on over there, get your shop on, make your home a palace. Tell them I told you to.
The members of Congress aren't the only ones up late at night. Join the Conspiracy Hunter every weeknight from 11 to 1. That's right, the decent guy Don Griffin will be flying his black helicopter under cover of darkness with night vision at the ready to uncover what's going on in Washington and around the world. Tune into the Conspiracy Hunter Monday through Friday from 11 p.m. to 1 a.m. on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
This is Mark Hinderleiter, host of Lessons in Leadership. Every Friday afternoon, I interview high-level leaders about leadership issues that matter most. As far as I know, it's the only show of its kind. Whether you're an executive, manager, teacher, coach, volunteer leader, or the head of a family, this show is for you. You'll get practical tips from real leaders on topics that can give you the competitive edge in the marketplace. Tune in every Friday afternoon at 4 o'clock to Lessons in Leadership.
A voice for those that should be heard. This is the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Rise up, oh. Rise up, oh. Everybody gotta rise up. Come follow me, rise up, oh. Rise up, oh. It's the mass, I've got to rise up. You got to rise up, oh. Rise up, oh. Everybody gotta rise up. Yeah, you gotta rise up, oh. Rise up, oh.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. Get up, get up, get to me. We have much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. And if you want a toll-free long-distance me, do that at 1-877-920-WGNU. Please don't forget that. This Saturday, the day after tomorrow. My goodness, where did this week go? Where did this week go? This Saturday, we are going to be watching Spike Lee's movie. This four-hour documentary on what happened with Katrina when the levees broke. Four different hours of it. Each hour is broken down into a different issue that Spike Lee explores. And we're going to be doing that at the International Urban Institute. Irene J. Smith and myself are going to be showing this film from 7 a.m. until 11 a.m. You need to come on and take a look at this. This is going to, well, first of all, it's in honor of the anniversary. slavery. Second of all, it's what the Urban Institute does in trying to bring the information to the community and to connect the community to the need to involve itself and protect what we have. So the Urban Institute is doing this. You need to come on down on Saturday. The address is 1020 North Taylor. The time is 7 a.m. to 11 a.m. Each hour brings a different story, so come on down to 1020 North Taylor and take a look at When the Levees Broke, a Spike Lee documentary. It was on HBO. I know a lot of folks don't have HBO, and a lot of folks don't have the opportunity to sit down and have a discussion after the fact to talk about this movie. So come on down, 1-877-920-WGNU. That's the Urban Institute, folks. The Urban Institute, huh? I want to share something with you. Share something with you. Comparisons between Bush and Hitler. Comparisons between Bush and Hitler. There's this fabulous piece that I'm going to put up on Through Brown Eyes, up on my website at lizbrown.com. This YouTube piece. Things that Hitler has done and that George Bush has done. According to this little piece, within the first months after that terrorist attack, a man by the name of Hitler, at the suggestion of a political advisor, brought a formerly obscure word into common usage. He wanted to stir a racial pride amongst his countrymen. So instead of referring to his nation as a country, he began to refer to it as, come on, boys and girls. What did Hitler refer to his country as? The homeland. The homeland. Are you feeling me? Are you feeling me? And then when you look at, a few months after that, Hitler proposed, after they had been attacked, Hitler proposed a single new national agency to protect the security of the homeland. Hitler consolidated the actions of dozens of previously independent police, border and investigative agencies, and they put it under one leader. Huh? Does that sound familiar to you? Hitler also was quite the Christian. He called upon Christianity, he connected within his country what he was doing and the will of God. Huh. Sound familiar to you? Sound familiar to you? He said, this fire... His voice trembling with emotion is the beginning. He used it. He stood in the midst of a terrorist attack on his country with the media of the day surrounding him. His voice trembling with emotion, Hitler said, this fire is the beginning. This is a sign from God. And it's a sign from God to declare an all-out war on terrorism and its ideological sponsors, a people, he said, who traced their origins to the Middle East. and found motivation for their evil deeds and their religion. Help me, y'all. That's what Hitler said. I'm sorry, I wasn't clear on that. That's what Hitler said. We fighting the same enemy that existed in Hitler's mind. Right? Right? 1-877-920-WGNU. And the historical act that I'm talking about, where Hitler stood on the scorched earth of his beloved Germany, it was the successful firebombing of the German parliament, Reichstag building. That happened 72 years ago. A Dutch terrorist by the name of Marius van der Lubbe. He firebombed the German parliament, Reichstag's building. And it was with that single terrorist act that catapulted Hitler to legitimacy and reshaped the German Constitution. Hello. Hello. Y'all want to see this? You need to get to Through Brown Eyes today. I'm going to get that up there for you. Sound familiar, y'all? Hitler reshaped his constitution, was able to reshape his constitution after a single terrorist act. He stood on those charred grounds and called upon his God and said his God told him to go get them. Now the challenge to Boy George is it's uniting the same group of people. But the problem is there are a whole lot of other people that don't look like the people that he's trying to unite and aren't in the same economic class as those that he's trying to unite. So his challenge is going to be a little bit more difficult. But it worked in the beginning, didn't it? It worked in the beginning. People were wrapping themselves in the red, white, and blue and talking about turning the Middle East into, a parking lot. Remember? Remember some of y'all out there? None of you, of course, put on your any type of military uniform to get over there and get something done. You hollered from your armchairs between clicks of your remote. Of watching ESPN and drinking your beer. You hollered about wrapping yourself up in a flag, but you weren't going nowhere. Except maybe to your refrigerator to get another beer. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about. Gonna take a break, but I'll be back at you. What is hospice care? Well, you see, families turn to hospice care when facing the terminal illness of a loved one. The Point of Change Hospice provides an environment in which families can cope with the transition of their loved one in the supportive, loving, and comfortable setting of the home. You see, research has shown and proven that individuals can maintain their dignity and make their eternal transition in peace with the right tools and the right opportunities. That's why Point of Change is proud to be able to provide the physical, emotional, practical, and spiritual care for adults and children in the last phases of terminal illness. The Point of Change provides skilled hospice nursing, medical social services, home health aid and homemakers, occupational therapy, physical therapy, chaplain and counseling services, bereavement follow-up, and trained hospice volunteers. Point of Change also provides physician-ordered services, medical equipment, medical supplies, medication for pain management, relief, and comfort. The Point of Change accepts Medicaid, Medicare, and private health insurance. You don't have to worry about a thing. Please call them. One of their counselors is waiting to talk to you. 535-4500. That's 535-4500. The Point of Change Hospice. Caring for family, caring for our community, and caring for you.
Celebrity voice impersonator.
This is Elvis Presley, and whenever I'm taking care of business in St. Louis, I'm listening to the Sloan Ranger Show on AM 920 WGNU. As the Sloan Ranger would say, thank you. Thank you very much for listening.
The Sloan Ranger Show, weekdays at 5 o'clock, only on AM 920 WGNU. Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now. This is your wake-up call, global news update. Dateline, Managua. Elections are to take place in Nicaragua in November. And right now, former President Daniel Ortega currently has a 6-point lead in the most recent polls over former Foreign Minister Eduardo Montealegre. Ortega was head of the Sandinista government that came to power in the 1980s at a time when the United States supported Contra rebels who tried to take down the government because the Sandinistas were backed by the old Soviet Union. Nicaragua is one of the poorest countries in the Western Hemisphere. Under the Sandinista government, living conditions did improve for the poor, as free health care and education were provided. But there was also criticism about human rights abuses and forced military service. This is Ortega's third run for president since he was defeated in 1990, and his candidacy is being supported by Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez, who has been using oil revenues to help build anti-American alliances and provide help to liberal political movements all across Latin and South America. And Dateline New York. America Online has inked a deal that will allow it to offer movies and TV shows over its brand new video portal. AOL is trying to make up for revenues it stands to lose from a recent decision to end subscription fees for a number of high-speed internet customers. This is also an experiment for studios and TV networks to see how the concept flies. They're also selling their wares through Apple Computer's iTunes Music Store as well as Google's Video Store. The cost will range from $10 to $20 per movie or a couple of bucks for a TV episode. Customers will be able to keep the shows in their computer files and will not have to delete them after a limited amount of time. But they will only be able to be accessed on a limited number of Windows-based computers. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
This is Head Thumping Talk Radio on WGNU.
Scientists have discovered a way to reanimate dogs that have been dead for 3 hours. They fill you up with salt. They season you. What they do is a marinade, for lack of a better way to put it. So I guess realistically speaking, they could do this in China, right? So they fill the dog full of salt water. If it doesn't work out, the dog dies. Hey, you know, it's General Chow's chicken in the end. It all works out. Something about the zombie dog where you put salt water in them, kill them, and then revive them hours later, and the idea that it's intended for human trials. Who would volunteer for that?
Brett Rosen, Thursday mornings at 10 a.m. on WGNU.
Hi, this is Danny Glover, and you're listening to the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown on WGNU.
It's the information you need to know about but can't find anywhere else on the dial. The award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Just a little bit longer. Please, 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 please.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the wake-up call. This is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. Get to me. We have much to talk about. Just looking through the business section this morning, so many interesting stories out there. I don't know how many of them make you feel better, but, Builders cut back on land holdings. As sales slow and inventories jump, large publicly traded home builders are trimming land holdings or renegotiating their deals. Land sellers are at a disadvantage right now. And because of the way that they are financed, they really can't hold on and wait for the market to normalize. They are seeing up to 10 to 20% reductions in land prices from recent highs. Toll Brothers, a builder of luxury homes, said in its third quarter earnings report last week that it now owns or controls about 82,000 lots compared with 91,000 lots last quarter. Why is that important? You need to watch what the housing market is doing. Second page of the financial section of the newspaper. Slipping consumer confidence could have an impact on auto sales for the month of August. Some people say that the sales could fall as much as 6%. I certainly see a slowdown in consumer spending. The story for that has been pretty obvious for a long time. Higher interest rates and higher energy prices. You want to know why gas prices are going down? They're trying to get you to loosen up your pocketbook and start your spending, get your spend on. How about this? People can't afford to buy cars, new cars. People can't afford to buy houses. But a big old headline in today's business section. Corporate profits are up in the second quarter. Corporate profits rose swiftly in the second quarter. And they say that businesses are now in a position to help offset a slowdown in consumer spending. How do you think that's going to happen? How do you think that is going to happen? Consumer spending accounts for more than two-thirds of our economic activity. What you buy, two-thirds of what goes on in our economy is based upon what you buy. What you buy. And the consumer spending rose 2.6% in the second quarter, down from a large 4.8 gain in the first quarter. Gross domestic product, the biggest measure of our economic activity, rose 2.9%, far below the 5.6 increase seen in the first 3 months of this year. We're being told that the economy is growing okay. How do y'all feel? 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up, get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. And for those of you out there, I'm going to give you a little tip. Just like you need to try to erase everything that you have on your computer when you get rid of your computer so that people can't get your database and get your credit card numbers and get all kinds of your tax returns, print checks from your computer. A lot of folks print their own checks on, you know, print their own checks. You can do that now. Well, you need to put the same kind of diligence and concern into your cell phone. Because selling your cell phone, your old cell phone, once you upgrade to a fancier model, if you don't clean it out, you're letting people in on parts of your life that you shouldn't be. And cleaning your cell phone out is maybe a lot more difficult than you think. Some folks think that resetting the phone means that the sensitive information that you have on the phone is erased. But it can be resurrected using a specialized yet inexpensive software found on the Internet. So they can get your bank accounts, your passwords. They can, let me just tell you some of the stuff that they have found on phones, not computers, on phones. They found on one cell phone, one company's plan to win a multi-million dollar federal transportation contract on a phone that they had given up, thought they erased all the stuff on. They found emails about another firm's $50,000 payment for software license on another phone. They found your bank account and passwords. They found the details of prescriptions and receipts for one worker's utility payments. The information that they found on discarded cell phones amounted to 27,000 pages, about eight feet high. Huh. You need to be careful. You need to be careful. You're on the wake-up call.
Hi, this is Peter.
Yes, Peter.
I was calling regarding your comments about the Hitler rhetoric that he was using.
Hitler versus Bush?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that's kind of eerie that he would, those terms are so, I mean, they're identical, you know. It's
homeland.
Yeah.
Yes, it is. It's scary, isn't it?
Well, but then again, you think about it, a lot of conservative or Republicans are, they're kind of, you know, respectful of Hitler in a way. You know, if they were to write his resume, he would be a health guy. He would be a fitness guy. He'd be an environmentalist. He'd be a nationalist. And in footnotes, they would have, like, master, bigot, and racist. Kind of like that. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people that when they discuss Hitler and they're conservative, they're respectful of him.
They're not as angry at him as they should be, right?
Well, I mean, you would think that a guy who killed so many people and had such a hateful approach toward life would be somebody that they would try and stay away from.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing that's kind of silly is that when you do have discussions with these people, you notice in Bush's, when he told us about the war, he's saying, okay, weapons of mass destruction ties to terrorists and, how bad a person Saddam Hussein was. When the first two turned out not to be true, and what we focused on was Iraqi democracy, you realize that how little they actually care about Iraq.
There you go.
They don't really think too much of their life.
No, they don't.
And then when you suggest, you know, that we should still be at war, you know, I don't think they would be willing to sacrifice American lives for Iraqi lives, but they're so determined to be right that they just refuse to accept that they've made the wrong decision.
Got to roll. Thank you, Peter.
All right.
I'm Liz Brown. I'll be back with Eye on the Lou. Irene J. Smith, stay with me.
And tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
Believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal
treatment. And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's a
the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Aldinger. Ernesto is a tropical storm again, a very wet one, and it's making its way toward the South Carolina coast. ABC's Yunji Denise is waiting it out in Charleston.
Residents of coastal areas in both North and South Carolina are being urged to prepare for the storm. On Wednesday, the National Guard was put on alert in the Carolinas to assist with emergencies as a result of Ernesto. Business owners are preparing for a wet holiday weekend.
And it already is raining in Acapulco. Those are the outer bands of Hurricane John. The Category 3 storm is spinning off Mexico's Pacific coast. Dan Mundell is with the National Hurricane Center.
It's expected to move parallel the coast of Mexico for the next 18 to 24 hours and then head in the general direction of the southern tip of Baja California, Cabo San Lucas.
But John should not be a real threat to the U.S. You're going to hear a lot of this kind of thing from President Bush over the next few weeks.
If we leave Iraq before the job is done, as some have advocated, this will be a major defeat for the United States of America in the global war on terror.
President has a series of speeches planned to drum up support for the war. They come on the fifth anniversary of the 9/11 attacks, and with the midterm elections about 2 months away, the war is expected to be an important issue in the vote. Iran's president putting his foot down.
Iran's president says he won't be bullied. President Ahmadinejad says Iran will never abandon its right to peaceful nuclear technology. The UN's nuclear watchdog issues its report to the Security Council today. Mark Fitzpatrick, a senior fellow at the London-based International Institute for Strategic Studies, says Iran's grade point average is pretty poor.
Suspension of enrichment, failure, cooperation with the IAEA to answer their questions, maybe a D-.
But Fitzpatrick says so long as Iran's economy is so bad, Ahmadinejad isn't about to back down.
ABC's Linda Alban in London. This is ABC News.
There are infinite dynamics in business. For instance, the just-in-time inventory that really is dynamic. Or the every SKU already has a customer dynamic. Or the I've escaped from the crushing shackles of my supply chain dynamic. How do you achieve these kinds of dynamics? Microsoft Dynamics. Software solutions that are specially designed to improve customer relationship, financial, and supply chain management. To find out more, visit Microsoft.com/Microsoft Dynamics.
John Madden here to tell you about Ace Hardware's Labor Day sale going on this weekend only, September 1st through the 4th, at participating Ace stores. Get a $5 rebate on every gallon of Ace Royal paint you buy, limit 10 gallons. And don't forget paint supplies like a 4-piece paintbrush set priced at $2.99 or a 3-pack of Ace paint rollers for $3.99. Both are free after rebate. Ace, the helpful place. Quantities limited. Available at participating stores.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware for.
Brooks and Dunn and Brad Paisley are the acts to beat in the 40th Annual Country Music Association Awards. The nominations came out yesterday. Here's ABC's David Blaustein.
Brad Paisley won his first CMA Award 6 years ago. With the 6 nods he has going into this year's show, his nomination tally is already at 33.
I know there's people out there that don't get nominated and deserve it sometimes, but getting nominated when you both do deserve it and sometimes don't is never something that gets old.
Paisley was honored enough to record his single, When I Get Where I'm Going, with Dolly Parton. Now the song is up for Single and Song of the Year.
It makes it all real and something that stands the test of time.
The CMA Awards are scheduled to take place in Nashville on November 6th. David Blaustein, ABC News.
Just in time for the school year, a new search engine to give kids help with their homework. It's called Study Buddy. It's pre-screened by teachers and librarians. You can get the basic service for free or a premium version for $5 a month. I'm Daria Aldinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU Newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU News Update for the 7 o'clock hour. In the news this Thursday, visitation is today for a Normandy police officer killed at her Crystal City home. 26-year-old officer Amanda Case was shot to death early Tuesday morning. Her live-in boyfriend, Calverton Park police officer Robert Brooks, is charged with second-degree murder. Visitation for Case is this afternoon from 3 to 9 at Chapel Hill Mortuary in Cedar Hill. A funeral will be held Friday morning at the funeral home. Memorial donations can be made to the Backstoppers. If you get an email about women being drugged and raped at Westport Plaza, don't believe it and don't forward it. That's the message from Maryland Heights Police Chief Tom O'Connor, who says the email about alleged rapes at the Trainwreck Saloon is a hoax. O'Connor says detectives have found no proof of any crimes, and some of the alleged victims' information has actually been proven false. A portion of Interstate 55 is now renamed the Thomas G. Smith Jr. Memorial Highway. Governor Matt Blunt yesterday signed the legislation to name I-55 between Butler Hill and Merrimack Bottom in honor of the 23-year-old officer killed in the line of duty nearly 9 years ago. St. Louis County Police Chief Jerry Lee says this is a great honor.
It's a very important tribute not only to Officer Smith and his legacy, but also to his parents and also to his extended family, which is the men and women of the County Police Department.
Smith was killed December 5, 1997, when he stopped to help with an accident along I-55 and Butler Hill and was struck by an approaching van. Smith was a 3-year veteran of the force at the time of his death. Finally this hour, the Cardinals banged out 20 hits and tied a franchise record with 8 doubles in a 13-6 win over the Marlins last night. The victory combined with Cincinnati's loss means the Cards' Central Division lead has now ballooned to 4.5 games. The 39th home run of the season for Albert Pujols and 3 RBI from Preston Wilson highlighted the Redbirds' offensive night. Meanwhile, Jason Marquis allowed 5 runs in 5 innings, but he did enough to pick up the win and boost his record to 14-12. The loss snapped a 9-game winning streak for the Marlins. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by Deals Stores. There's a new Deals in town with a brand new look. They still have great $1 deals plus big deals that are too good to pass up, so they're passing them on to you. Come in for their grand reopening celebration September 1st. That's your look at local news for the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Chaser Plus. Northbound 55 from Route M through Route Z. Look for an accident that jams back through Herculaneum. Westbound 278 Old Halls Ferry and McDonald Boulevard, very heavy traffic in pockets. Eastbound 44 from Mraz Overpass through Merrimack River Bridge, look for delays in the right lane. Northbound 270 from Tesson Ferry through Marshall Road, slow traffic in pockets. Eastbound 70 at KN79, look for slow traffic. Eastbound 40 from Mason through 270, look for very heavy volume going on there as well. Northbound 55 from Butler Hill all the way through 270, look for congestion going on there. All your approaches onto the Poplar Street Bridge as well as the King Bridge and the Eads Bridge, you can expect some delays as you roll into downtown this morning. And southbound US 61 at Highway C, there's a report of an accident. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Chaser Plus. This Labor Day, use a designated driver to avoid accidents and avoid hangovers. Take Chaser. Chaser absorbs toxins and helps you wake up feeling great. Buy Chaser products today at Walgreens, CVS, and GNC stores. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Saturday. For today, partly sunny in the morning, becoming mostly cloudy throughout the day. Patchy fog this morning, chance of showers with a high in the mid-70s. This evening, mostly cloudy with a low in the mid-60s. For Friday, mostly cloudy in the morning, partly sunny throughout the day with a high in the upper 70s. And Saturday, partly sunny skies with a high around 80. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 65 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 66. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. It's Ion Lou with Liz and Irene J. Smith. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, drop down the sun. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, drop down the sun.
Use our power. Please do not beg for for all of you, and people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, how do you listen?
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
Struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal
citizenship. And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
It's time now for Eye on the Lou. Redistricting, hand-picked school board members, up-and-coming elections, recalls, battles in Jefferson.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to I Am the Lou. Good morning, this is Liz Brown, and as always, I am joined by Irene J. Smith. Irene, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Liz, and your listening audience.
Good morning. We have some stuff that we're going to talk about this morning. We're going to be looking into the political crystal ball this morning, if you all don't mind. Irene, let's take a look into the political crystal ball here. Now that the elections for the senatorial district are over, and we have some state rep seats out of done with, let's talk about the future, because I think that's one of the things that we try to do at the Urban Institute is to be proactive and with some of the things that we do. So let's talk about Maida Coleman. Maida Coleman is one of our state senators, but she will be termed out in a couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
What's the talk? What are we hearing? What should we be looking at as we look into the future for Maida's district?
Hopefully we will avoid the situation that occurred with the 4th Senatorial District in terms of the number of African-American candidates in the district. What we are hearing is that, I guess, Robin Wright Jones, I believe, will be termed out.
Mm-hmm.
We are also hearing that the Republicans' hero, mm-hmm. Rodney Hubbard,
mm-hmm.
may be running.
Mm-hmm.
And we're hearing that your state rep, Connie Johnson, may be running if she doesn't get a judgeship.
Mm-hmm. So let's throw some stuff around here as we look into the political crystal ball here. Rodney Hubbard, if the race consisted of, if we're just going to talk about people of African descent right now, if the race consisted of Rodney Hubbard, Robin Wright, and Connie Johnson, what does the Rodney factor do in a race like this?
Now that's very interesting. If there is a Caucasian candidate,
mm-hmm.
we basically would have the same situation that we have in the 4th Senatorial District. Rodney, I'm not certain that beyond the 57th district, I mean the 58th district, which I believe is Rodney Hubbard's district, that beyond that district, which I think takes in a lot of the
Central West End,
but it also takes in all of his district, with the exception of probably maybe just a little clip, is in the 5th Senatorial District.
Mm-hmm.
So he definitely has a base. Robin Wright Jones definitely has a base. Connie would have a base from her district. But it's interesting because Connie and Robin Wright Jones have not really had contested races the last several elections, whereas Rodney Hubbard has.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, of the three, Rodney Hubbard is the youngest.
Mm-hmm.
So I would take, in a lot of instances, that means more activity, more young people becoming involved in the race. So I think he would stand a pretty decent chance. But I think the South Side, particularly the 6th Ward and the 7th Ward, I believe would be very supportive of Robin Wright Jones.
And we're going to have to take a break. We'll come back gazing into our political crystal ball. This is the Eye on the Lou. I'm Liz Brown. I'm here with Irene J. Smith. Stay with me. What is hospice care? Families turn to hospice care when facing the terminal illness of a loved one. The Point of Change Hospice provides an environment in which families can cope with the transition of their loved one in the supportive, loving, and comfortable setting of their own home. Founded in 2001, the Point of Change Hospice provides physical, emotional, practical, and spiritual care for adults and children in the last phases of a terminal illness. Skilled hospice nursing, medical social services, occupational therapy, physical therapy, trained hospice volunteers. The Point of Change Hospice also provides physician-ordered services, medical equipment, medical supplies, medication for pain relief and comfort. The Point of Change also accepts Medicare, Medicaid, and private health insurance. Please give them a call. One of their counselors is waiting to hold your hand through this very difficult process. The phone number is 535-4500. That's 535-4500. The Point of Change Hospice. Caring for families, caring for our community, and caring for you.
Over 3,000 children in the St. Louis area need quality foster parenting and stable homes. Homes free of violence, abuse, and neglect. Homes complete with consistency in caring and strength. Foster families can provide the building blocks necessary in establishing positive patterns of behavior for children. Urban Behavioral Health Care Institute is looking for caring individuals interested in serving as a link to permanent family living. Call 314-577-5000 or visit urbanbehav.com. News to you from Radio Free St. Louis.
This is Mitch Washington of the St. Louis office of Edward Jones, located at 200 North Broadway downtown, inviting you to tune in to Radio Free St. Louis for the WGNU Stock Market Recap, weekday afternoons immediately following the 3:30 traffic update. Find out how your investments are doing and how the numbers on Wall Street are affecting you. That's the WGNU Stock Market Recap with me, Mitch Washington, weekday afternoons at 3:30 on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
Recently in St. Louis, some changes were made in healthcare providers, and we at ConnectCare want you to know that sometimes change can be good. ConnectCare, still connected to the community. ConnectCare is now your specialty care clinic hub. If you or your loved one is dealing with kidney disease, you can contact one of ConnectCare's renal specialists at our renal clinic, dedicated to improving the quality of life and providing optimal care for patients with chronic and acute renal disease. At ConnectCare, we have 14 specialty care clinics to serve your healthcare needs. Our specialty care clinic hub includes specialty clinics dealing with arthritis, ENT, GI, orthopedics, and a women's specialty clinic. At ConnectCare, the physicians and staff at our specialty clinics are committed to the philosophy that the best care is provided by those with the greatest commitment to their community. ConnectCare, still connected to the community.
Anywhere in the world at WGNU.net, the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back. Welcome back to I Am the Lou. I am here with Irene J. Smith. My name is Liz Brown. Irene, we're looking into our political crystal ball. We're talking about Natus District. And I think one of the things that we probably should throw in here also is what happens with whoever is elected in this district. It's my understanding that the timing of this election would mean that whoever is the state senator would be redrawing the district map, as it happens every 10 years.
Yeah, we'll be participating mm-hmm. in the redrawing
mm-hmm.
of the district maps because redistricting would be right at the redistricting. So it's going to be interesting. And if our community is not vigilant about this, with all the other rumors looming about redistricting and further diluting, reducing African-American political power, it could be quite damaging.
And I think one of the things also when we look into the political ball, crystal ball, and we evaluate what is happening, a lot of times, and you know this as an elected official many times over, you know this, that you are evaluated by your opponent by the amount of money that you have in the bank, the amount of visibility that you have, and the amount of clarity that they have, that your possible opponent has, of how much you want this. And is it true that conventional wisdom says in a race like this that it should be clear that you're running at least a year out on a race like this?
I would think so, that it would be clear. From the money perspective, particularly in light of the fact of Rodney Hubbard's relationship with the Republican Party and particularly All Children Matter, and, you know, we've read emails that we've been able to obtain where they really think a great deal of him.
They call him a hero for
the
Republican Party.
They call him a hero. They call him a hero. Mm-hmm. So I would suspect that certainly Rodney Hubbard would have an end run in terms of money.
And we have to also at this point of the conversation factor in as well that come November or so, the Katie barred the door, no holes barred, limits are lifted off of how much money you can give from folks.
Ooh.
So you don't have to rely upon, or you ain't looking for $25 donations anymore. Now that the caps have been taken off of the amount of money that you can contribute to a candidate, and the elimination of these committees, folks can give tons of money.
Exactly.
People.
And in saying, you know, that Rodney Hubbard certainly is the front runner in terms of raising money. That is
the possibility of raising money.
That's not to take anything away from Robin Wright Jones or Connie Johnson. I almost said Connie Hubbard. Mm. Connie Johnson's ability to do the same.
And I guess that's what makes it even more imperative from my perspective, Irene, that folks need to decide who the person is going to be and begin the process of working that and making it clear who the representative for that district is going to be. Can I ask you another question here? Has the amount of money that was raised in the Yaphet El Amin, the Amber Boykins, the Kenny Jones and Jeff Smith and Gambaro race, has that raised the bar in terms of how much money people have to have in order to run for a Senate seat?
Oh, very definitely. I mean, the bar has been raised. I mean, never before that I can recall have we ever had TV commercials. Mm-hmm. Of course, we're in a different era now, and particularly with respect to cable, TV commercials are not as expensive.
And the WB, Channel 46, they're not that expensive.
They're not that expensive, but nonetheless, I mean, the fact that you had individuals running radio spots, you know, 30, 25, 37 days out
mm-hmm.
before the election, of course, adds expense to it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think certainly the bar has been risen as a result of the fourth senatorial race in terms of the amount of money for a state. We're talking about a state senatorial race. We're not talking about a U.S. senatorial seat. We're talking about a state Senate race.
Over $1 million was spent?
Mm-hmm.
over $1 million?
Oh, yes.
You know,
oh, yes.
When you combine all of the money spent by all of the candidates, we had over $1 million spent on a state race.
But I think it puts earnest on the community, and that's why we have the International Urban Institute, and that is to develop the agenda that we see that our community needs, and to say, hey, what are you going to do? This is what we need. I mean, we know crime is rampant in our community. I mean, just rampant. Every time you turn around, somebody's getting killed or shot. And I was talking to one of the older citizens that said, you know, I can barely count when I see a police officer going past my house. Issues in terms of resources from the state coming into the city, the issue of whether or not the city of St. Louis will have control of their police department, that certainly should be on it in a legislative agenda for the next senator for the 4th as well as the 5th.
And again, it goes back to what we talk about in the Urban Institute is planning and decision and collective decision making by the community. There should be one candidate for this race, because if we lose this seat, then that means that we have no black senators from the city of St. Louis. None. I mean, that's done and done in a city that is over 50% people of African descent.
And in addition to that, it's also important that we have, say, for example, there some type of deal is cut where there are no Caucasians that run.
Mm-hmm.
We have to also make certain
that
the African American that represents that district is one that has the interests of the community in mind and will work for the interests of the community.
And that's why I'm so excited about the card that we've done so that we can, the political card that we have done for in the International Urban Institute, so that we can begin to ask these questions and find out what their educational philosophy is, to find out what their transportation philosophy is. We want to know what their political philosophies are. In addition to, we're going to have possibly, if all three of those people begin the discussion of I want this job, we're going to have a whole lot of legislative history to look at, and the community now has the time to tediously and carefully go through their records so that we can paint the picture
and
start analyzing the data.
You know, what has often come to mind is, you know, you look at people's I'm a pack rat. I ran across some legislative initiatives of some of our former mayors, you know, and even the African-American mayors. I can't say that I saw anything particularly that would have benefited the African-American community. So I think we in the International Urban Institute, that is why it is so important that an agenda is developed. I mean, much of that work has been done, but there is much, much more to do. And we want to know, you know, whose interest. I mean, I'm sick and tired of people coming to me, as some of the young people say, on the black tip. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm black, vote for me, that's it.
And because
we got to come with something more than that.
We want people of African descent to be in leadership positions, but you have to have an agenda that articulates, prioritizes, and delivers on our issues.
Exactly.
And what we hear sometimes, and more frequently than I'd like to even consider, are candidates out there that say that push their race at you and say, look no further than don't look behind the curtain. You know, just look at me.
And we've got to be leery of candidates who simply try to punch our emotional buttons.
Mm-hmm.
You see them on issues that emotionally give rise to spirit in us, you know, like a voting bill. You come out and you say this is like pre-civil rights days, you know. Just touching buttons or we got a highway named after a black person and I did it. We need something a little bit more of substance,
a lot more
substantive than that, because otherwise, you know, it's the same thing that, you know, Jim Talon is saying.
We're going to take a break. Stay with us.
Good morning, St. Louis. 30 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Advil Muscle Aches. Northbound 55 at Route Z and Route M. There's an accident, traffic jams near Herculaneum. Westbound 270 at Old Halls Ferry, McDonald Boulevard. Very heavy traffic in pockets. Eastbound 40 at Mraz Overpass and Merrimack River Bridge. Look for slight delays in the right lane. Northbound 270 is slow from Tesson Ferry all the way through Big Bend. Eastbound 70 at KN79, you've got slow traffic. Northbound 55 at Butler Hill and 270, look for congestion going on there. Eastbound 40 at 141 and Mason, look for slow traffic. And westbound 40 at McCausland and Hanley, you've got slow volume there. All your approaches on the Poplar Street Bridge, as well as the Eads Bridge and the King Bridge, you can expect some delays. And T.R. Hughes at West Terra Lane, there's an accident involving a pedestrian. A bicyclist has been struck in northbound K at 40, and O'Fallon Road is closed this hour. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Advil Muscle Ache. You don't need different pain relievers for different pains. Wherever you hurt, Advil works. Advil, the every pain reliever. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Saturday. Partly sunny this morning, mostly cloudy by this afternoon. Fog this morning, chance of showers, high in the mid-70s. This evening, mostly cloudy with a low in the mid-60s. Friday, mostly cloudy in the morning, partly sunny throughout the day, high in the upper 70s. And Saturday, partly sunny with a high around 80. Currently, we have 66 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 67. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. Eye on the Lose up next again with Irene J. Smith and Liz Brown. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
You don't have to travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else?
Where else indeed. The washers, dryers, refrigerators, stoves, everything that you need to make your home a palace. And the best deals and the best customer service in the region. You need to get on down to Sears at Union and Natural Bridge. That's Sears. Take your Sears card, get a great deal, get great customer service, it's great location. And when you get there and get your shop on, you tell them, I told you to.
Hi, I'm Randy Grimm. Join me Fridays at 12 noon for Animal Tales on AM 920 WGNU. I learned at an early age that animals matter to me. Every week we'll share your stories. We'll discuss issues that matter most to you and your companion animals, from breed-specific laws to puppy mills, and answer your questions about pet care as well. You'll also enjoy our special guests as they share their tales. It's an hour of fur, friends, and fun every week. Join me, Randy Grimm, for Animal Tales every Friday at 12 noon on AM 920 WGNU. Woof.
From A to Z, the Black Business Rolodex can meet all of your shopping needs.
Oh.
OJ Photo Supply, a standard of quality service since 1970. 8338 Olive. Cameras, digital cameras, photo restorations. What's the best film for my camera? OJ Photo Supply can answer your questions. OJ Photo Supply, 8338 Olive, 991-5550. Don't forget, always check your decks.
The people, the issues affecting your life, right here, right now, on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Welcome back to Eye on the Loo. My name is Liz Brown. I am here with Irene J. Smith. Irene, as we gaze into our political crystal ball, just when you think that you've heard it all, something reminds you that you know what? No, you haven't. Jeff Smith, it's all out there that Jeff Smith has ambitions now that he is, appears to be the senator from the 4th Senatorial District. Apparently he has ambitions for when he gets to Jefferson City.
Yes, he has all kind of ambitions. I mean, he has a degree in Black Studies. I guess that qualifies you to be a member of the Black Caucus.
Word on the street is that he's out here trying to with ambitions to join the Black Caucus. Ain't that some stuff? Ain't that some stuff? And I guess we need to have the discussion about that, about what that says, about what it means if this were to happen, just about that and in general. If that were to happen, if we have a person outside of the community of African descent as a member of the Black Caucus, what is the significance of that? What would be the significance of that?
First of all, the Black Caucus, it's my understanding, mm-hmm. that they were formed to address issues that specifically impact our community, but not only that, to vote as a group mm-hmm. to impact legislation. That certainly would give him privy to positions that he may not necessarily be in support of.
Mm-hmm.
And in my estimation, I think it would further weaken the Black Caucus.
Mm-hmm. Why?
Well, for one thing, I mean, it. To me, I have, over the years, there has appeared to be a weakening of the Black Caucus. It seems that they were trying to make a turnaround when they took a stance on the positions that Rodney Hubbard and Ted Hoskins was taking that they viewed as being against our community with respect to the vouchers and things of this nature and their votes with Republicans.
Mm-hmm.
So now along comes Jeff Smith, who wants to be a member, who incidentally is not from the African-American community. Mm-hmm. And, of course, you know, he says...
And is not a member of the African community.
Didn't
live in a neighborhood and is not of African descent.
Right. It's even questionable whether or not he even lived in the 4th Senatorial District.
Fair enough.
Those who were running didn't raise it as an issue. So I think it just... I mean, if that happens... Do you have a Black Caucus?
No, I don't think you do.
You
don't have a Black Caucus. And you also, I think that the members of the community, one of the things that the Black Caucus needs in order to be effective up in Jefferson City is a connect with the community of African descent. They need to have the reputation. They need to have the understanding from the community of African descent that they are about their issues. And they have to provide for the community a reason for the community to come up and support them. A reason for the community to rise up on the issues, and your credibility is eliminated when the first act of the Black Caucus would be to allow Jeff Smith membership in it.
Well, Jeff Smith would say, you know, one of the things that he ran on was racial cooperation.
You can run on anything that you want. I don't mean that that's what you're about. And whatever racial cooperation is, I saw some of the most offensive literature that I've ever seen. I've never seen, and it's that twisted colonial, the most sublime type of racism. When you have a white person sending literature into a Black community saying, I, who have never been elected into anything, have done more for your community than any other Black person that you know. I don't know of a more racist type of slap at the African community. And vote for me because I'm better for you. As a white person that's never done anything for you, I'm better for you than anybody that has.
Right. I mean, basically what he says he's done for you is volunteer at Matthew Dickey, I guess Herbert Hoover.
And play basketball.
Play basketball.
Had some chitlins and pig snoots little event there in the park.
I think he was selling. I think they had fish and barbecue. Mm,
they had hot dogs. They had pig snoots.
and of course, he says he was one of the founders of the public charter school
mm-hmm. that the current acting superintendent had a press conference on that it's failing our students, and she founded it too, and she's saying that it's failing. So you are selling rancid snake oil to our community. You are selling a lie wrapped in another lie.
And you know what I said, I think probably 2 months ago, that why I saw him as so harmful dangerous is the word that I use, is because younger African Americans who have somehow had a disconnect to our community because they have gone to schools and in areas outside of the African American community, and because, you know, young people have not seen some of the struggles that have existed in our community, and they're in the thing, can't we all get along?
And when you get 40, it's too late.
Right. Can't we all get along? And so they are certainly embracing Jeff Smith, but Jeff Smith isn't interested in staying in Jefferson City. Mr. Smith wants to go to Washington.
And then let's talk about the other piece of that. But before we get to that, one of the things also, the African community rejected Jeff Smith. Mm-hmm. The overwhelming majority of African people and all the black folks, black folks embracing him, the African community rejected overwhelmingly who Jeff Smith is.
No doubt about it. I mean, the numbers, you know, the numbers are there.
The numbers speak for themselves. If you are not getting 10% of a vote, that means 90% or 95%, depending upon which precinct and which ward you go to. The overwhelming majority of the African community said, we're not interested in your rancid snake oil, and they did not vote for him. So how can you say that you have even, in terms of getting into the black caucus, the black community has said no to you? So there you go. But
it's going to be interesting. Jeff Smith, to me, his attempt, if it is that, to get into the black caucus, or at least expressing an interest coming into the black caucus, is interesting, but to me what is more important is how the black caucus will respond to that.
And I have talked to the chairman of the black caucus. I've talked to John Bowman, and the answer is no, that's not happening. I have talked to Connie Johnson, and I've talked to Maida Coleman as well. And the answer from Maida Coleman is no, that is not happening. So I think it's incumbent upon, again, that's what our job is out here. When we hear of things like this, we need to make certain that our black caucus, who represents our interests in our community, needs to be clear on what the issue is here and what is acceptable and what is not acceptable.
I think that's very, but in the final analysis, certainly we need to do that, no doubt. We have a responsibility as community to do that, but the ultimate responsibility and decision rests with the members of the Black Caucus.
Absolutely, absolutely. Getting to other aspirations, and this is just kind of like we're looking at the political crystal ball here. Like you said, Jeff Smith wants to go to Washington. I guess Lacey needs to have a heads up on that, doesn't he?
Well, it's interesting. here you have what I call the slaves and the clays, mm-hmm. Behind the scenes, trying to orchestrate who the fourth senatorial, who is the senator for the fourth senatorial district. Then Jeff Smith is saying, Mr. Slay, you helped a little bit, but as we analyzed the numbers last week, it's kind of questionable how much help.
When you add up all the numbers in Francis Slay's ward, more people voted against Jeff Smith than voted for Jeff Smith, and Jeff Smith only won by a handful of votes in Francis Slay's ward. So
right.
What good is an endorsement from Francis?
Well, ask the school board members
there
that
you go.
Support it. So, Jeff, where are you? Are you going to be in the congressional race when Retta Day decides she's going to run for the first congressional district?
And do that math again. Lacey needs to be looking over his shoulder for real, because you need to see if Jeff Smith, clearly he has no problem with jumping from residence to residence to establish whatever he needs to establish to run for whatever office he wants to. Lacey need to be looking over his shoulder to see where Jeff Smith is moving. If Jeff Smith moves into the first congressional district, because it appears clearly that Jeff has cut a deal with Carnahan, we cool.
I'm not going to run in the third.
Not against you. We're going to go after this. Black guy.
We're going to have the white gentleman's club.
There we go. We're going to take a break. Stay with us. This is I Am the Lou.
What
is hospice care? Well, families turn to hospice care when facing the terminal illness of a loved one. The point of change, hospice provides an environment in which families can cope with the transition of their loved one in the supportive, loving, and comfortable setting of their own home. The point of change hospice provides physical, emotional, practical, and spiritual care for adults and children in the last phases of a terminal illness. Their program provides skilled hospice nursing, medical social services, home health aides, homemakers, occupational therapy, physical therapy, chaplain and counseling services, bereavement follow-up. The Point of Change Hospice also provides physician-ordered services, medical equipment, medical supplies, medications for pain management, relief, and comfort. They accept Medicare, Medicaid, and private health insurance. You don't have to worry about money. One of our counselors is waiting to talk to you and hold your hand through this difficult time. Give them a call at 535-4500. The number again, 535-4500. The Point of Change Hospice. Caring for families, caring for our community, and caring for you.
If you have suffered roof damage from the recent severe weather, Phil Person Roofing is still a name you can trust. Licensed and certified for commercial and residential jobs. Phil Person Roofing offers free estimates for all work. To contact Person Roofing, call this special emergency number, 602-1047. That's 602-1047. Phil Person Roofing, 602-1047.
Hi, everybody. This is Mike Huzz. Join me Thursday nights after the 7 o'clock news right here on Radio 920 as we circle the bases. Join my roundtable guests and myself as we talk about what's happening in the world of sports, baseball, football, basketball, hockey. Yeah, we'll even talk a little NASCAR, and yeah, we'll even talk a little poker. We'll circle the bases. That's what the show's all about. 7:05 Thursday night right here on Radio 920.
This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. Dateline, Washington. We have some new information regarding the Supermax Highway project that is designed to link Canada, the U.S., and Mexico for trade purposes. Just so you don't think we're making all of this up, a new highway bill worth nearly $300 billion was signed this month by President Bush. It gives the state of Tennessee over $100 million to help plan and build this new route, which we now know will be called Interstate 69. Tennessee officials are calling it one of the most important transportation projects in the history of the state. I-69 will extend from Michigan to Texas and will be the link to both borders. The head of the Tennessee Department of Transportation says the highway project will help the eastern part of Tennessee become one of the world's new economic centers of power in a global marketplace. The Tennessee portion of the cost for the project will be about $1 billion and roughly follows U.S. Highway 51 through the state. Now, most of the route has already been surveyed and staked. This I-69 project will cost almost $10 billion, and the states involved will have to foot 10% of that cost. Highway spending bills that go through Congress do not call this a NAFTA superhighway project, but the appropriations to states are written very low-key, so they look like any other highway project. The latest information indicates the route will run from the Gulf Coast of Texas through northern Louisiana, across Arkansas, then into Mississippi, eastern Texas, through Ohio, and on into Michigan to the border. A number of spur routes are also planned to link nearly all parts of the country. This is your wake-up call Global News Update.
From A to Z, the Black Business Rolodex can meet all of your shopping needs.
E.
Do you need a lawyer? A caring lawyer who listens to you? Well, call Earlene McAllister Thomas, 454-1811, for divorce, child support, child custody, criminal defense, accident, workers' comp, name change, or traffic case. Call Earlene Thomas. She's an excellent trial attorney and an aggressive advocate. 454-1811. Don't forget, always check your decks.
Real life, on the cutting edge. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to I Am the Lou. I am Liz Brown. I'm here with Irene J. Smith. And Irene, can we just talk for 2 seconds here about what we're going to be doing at the International Urban Institute on Saturday? Just want to give people a reminder. I'm excited about this.
Movie time.
Movie time, that's right.
Information time.
Information time. We're going to have a documentary for that Spike Lee's documentary on When the Levees Broke. It's the anniversary of the Katrina catastrophe, and we need to take a look back through the eyes of Spike Lee and this documentary, this four-hour documentary about what happened. It's kind of an inspirational reminding us of where we are going and what we need to do and why we do what we do. The Urban Institute is going to be showing that this Saturday at 7 a.m. to 11 a.m. The address is 1020 North Taylor. Come on out and come on out and enjoy. We'll have the opportunity for discussion and reflection and empowerment. So the International Urban Institute, this Saturday, we will be watching the When the Levees Broke, a documentary by Spike Lee about the Katrina catastrophe. So join us this Saturday. The address again is 1020 North Taylor, and we're starting at 7 o'clock in the morning to 11 o'clock. Each hour is a different aspect of what happened when the levees broke. So if you missed an hour, just come on in because there's another hour waiting there of information for you. 454-0400 is the phone number. Let me get to a caller or two or three. Jeff.
Hey, good morning, Liz. How you doing?
Good morning.
You're the hardest working radio talk show host in the business. I always like your show. But I had a question. You were talking about Jeff Smith and the fact that, you know, he's trying to become a member of the Black Caucus. Is that what you said?
That's what we said.
Okay. That's ridiculous. But I think that if you look at urban areas, especially St. Louis, that's, you know, where I live, I think that one of the reasons some of these white politicians are, you know, trying to kind of embark on the black community, because I remember that guy named Doherty, he said the same thing. He said, I could represent black people. Am I right?
Yeah, I guess the difference between Jeff Smith and Pat Doherty is that Pat Doherty had been in the legislature and had handled a number of issues that benefited the African-American community.
Okay.
Jeff Smith had zero.
I agree.
Experience legislatively in terms of our community.
And if he's willing to tell that whopper before he gets elected, imagine what he's going to say.
Exactly. I think you're right, Irene. I think, you know, he's using this platform as a way to get to Washington, D.C. Nevertheless, I think what bothered me more than anything else about this last election was that our congressman in the 1st Congressional District, Bill Clay, continues to be silent on a lot of issues. To me personally, especially, you know, education and economic development. I was reading the USA Today yesterday, and they were talking about a census report on family income.
Mm.
Black people continue to do worse, you know. I mean, even immigrants did better than African Americans. We're at, like, the bottom. Our income backed up, like, 0.8% versus last year. And to me, I think that a lot of, especially young voters, are becoming increasingly more and more disenfranchised. They don't feel like there's a reason to go to polls and vote because of just, you know, economic disparities. You know, so to me personally, I think that the Black Caucus need to get their act together and start focusing openly on more issues that will attract, you know, young black voters and make them go to the poll and vote on certain things like economic development. We don't want more.
Okay, and Jeff, if I can interrupt just for a second, because we have some other callers we have to get to. But all I would like to say is that it's a relationship. The Black Caucus needs to do what it needs to do, but we also, as part of that relationship, we have a responsibility in getting to the Black Caucus and making certain that they're doing. I think and Irene, you and I talked about this. The people that go bad up in Jefferson City or any other legislative body, I think they go bad due to inattentiveness. If you don't watch over, they go up there and they get corrupted by the environment that is up there, and we're not out here watching them. We're not out here monitoring. You can't leave it.
How can I help? Liz, how can I'm not a politician.
International,
I'm not really involved in you know,
international,
I think I'm a grassroots type of guy. How can a young black man like me help?
International Urban Institute. We meet every Saturday at 9 a.m. at 1020 North Jefferson.
Yeah. I mean, I will be there Saturday morning at 9 o'clock.
1020 North Taylor.
North Taylor.
1020 North Taylor.
And I'll bring one of my friends
all
with
right.
me, too,
then
because
let's get it done.
Getting serious.
All right,
yes.
Get it done. I'll see you there.
The other thing is that it's not just about watching over them or keeping a watch on them, mm-hmm. but it's also providing them with support
there
and information and training.
There you go.
Because the reality of the situation is, yes, they have a secretary, yes, they may have an administrative assistant, but there is a lot of those groups that get legislation through. For the most part, they bring the legislation to the legislator.
Mm-hmm.
They bring whatever documentation that mm-hmm. they will need to push forward on a particular piece of legislation. The problem quite often in our community is that there are very few times, I think Jamal and them have done it in terms of the Organization of Black Struggles, the Coalition Against Racism and Political Repression. They have done it over time. But for the most part, we don't take legislation to our legislators. We haven't done the research for them to do it. Because keep in mind, the legislative research arm of the state, they're not going to be looking for issues unless they're directed to do it by one of the legislators.
Mm-hmm. Let me get to another caller, Robin.
Good morning, Ms. Brown. Good morning, Ms. Smith.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I was calling because I will be there Saturday at the International Urban Institute.
All right now.
And I really had a problem yesterday. You know, I have a son that attends with Shine High School, and he's a senior this year, and never been in trouble. I brought him to the Urban Institute once before.
Mm-hmm.
And they were walking. Him and two of his friends, who also attend Bashan, they were walking a young girl to her bus stop. She goes to Sumner, but she came over to CJ, you know. And the police stopped them for no apparent reason and put them in handcuffs. And they were still in their school uniform. So it's really true. I mean, the people that they need to stop, they don't stop. And, you know, kids that are out here trying, you know, to
do right.
Exactly. And they, you know, they harass them. And I definitely will be there. And I'm gonna bring,
okay.
I'm gonna bring my.
And also, we can give you some information too about how to get to the Jamala's organization,
mm-hmm.
Citizens Against Police Crime and Repression. You need to report that. You need to report the officer, the cop that did that.
It was three of them, and they were dressed in regular clothes,
mm-hmm.
in a white car.
And they said that, and they said that they were cops.
Jumped out, patted them down, put them in handcuffs, put them in the car.
And then what did they do?
I drove them around, you know, and my son, he has a cell phone. Thank God I keep my kids with cell phones, and I don't even have one. And he called me before they just drove them around to empty, to vacant houses and saying what they could do to them and all this some craziness. You know, I'm, right now just talking about it has me just so.
Did they present any ID indicating that they was indeed the police?
They called these particular cops the jump out boys.
But that doesn't make them cops simply because they said that they were.
Oh, they were policemen. They
okay.
were policemen. They were these plain clothes and the ones that need to get off the corner, you know, who sell these drugs in our neighborhood, they don't.
Mm. And all right, Robin, we're going to have to wrap it up, but thank you for your call. We'll see you Saturday at the Urban Institute.
Okay, thank you, guys.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you. We have much to do. We have much to do, and we have a public safety committee at the Urban Institute. Folks need to come out because this stuff, we've got to address this stuff. Irene J. Smith, quickly, I guess we want to just say about Reverend Morris and his prayer for elected officials working together.
Right. And he points to what we've been talking
That's
about
exactly
continuously,
right.
the
That's
disconnect
exactly right.
between our elected officials and the community. And that's why we have the International Urban Institute.
And that has to be the last word.
Yes, it does.
All right, Irene, thank you so much. See you next week. I'll be back with Justice for Reggie. Stay with me.
issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Budgeted for back-to-school purchases, giving retailers solid sales gains for August. A tracking survey of 21 stores found 11 beat expectations for same-store sales, including limited brands with a 9% increase and BB stores with a 12.5% gain.
Analysts say the trend could take a turn for the downward direction in the coming months. Could be a soggy Labor Day weekend for much of the East Coast thanks to Tropical Storm Ernesto. The system is due to make landfall later today in South Carolina. More from ABC's Nancy Wiener in Charleston.
Many shops in Charleston will be closed today, but most of the residents are not leaving. They say this is a storm that they can just hunker down and ride out. There may be some flooding. There will be a lot of rain. There might even be some tornadoes, but the residents of this low-lying city say they've seen far worse. They're staying put for now.
Hurricane John's turning off Mexico's Pacific coast to dangerous Category 3 storm. It should not be a threat to the U.S. President Bush is pushing his stand on Iraq a lot these days. ABC Steve Taylor.
With Election Day in sight and Republican dominance of Congress threatened by opposition to the Iraq war, the president begins a series of speeches to build support for the war, his third such campaign in the last year. He says this one is about the big picture, both Iraq and the global war on terror, and how they fit together. The speeches come at a time when polls suggest fewer Americans than ever see Iraq as a battleground against those who caused 9/11. Steve Taylor, ABC News, Washington.
This is a deadline the U.N. has given Iran to stop enriching uranium. The nation's leader, true to his outspoken nature, today said it's Iran's right to pursue a peaceful nuclear program and that no one will stop
it.
A phone message at a local Red Cross office in Montana, located in one of two towns evacuated due to a fast-moving wildfire, almost 80,000 acres, ABC News.
This Labor Day, make the most of your time and save big at Lowe's Big Labor Day event. Right now, get 20% off plus free propane exchange and free assembly on all full-size gas grills, $99 and up. Get 20% off all special order wood flooring, carpet, and area rugs. Use your Lowe's consumer card and pay nothing for 12 months on any purchase of $299 or more, now through September 4th. See store for details while supplies last. Hurry into Lowe's Big Labor Day event, where you'll get great values on everything you need in one trip, saving you time and gas. Lowe's, let's build something together.
Drop everything. The Toyota Time Nationwide Clearance Event is on now. See why Toyota is the number one brand in passenger car sales in America. With cars like the sporty, fuel-efficient Corolla, it's a great time to buy the unstoppable Tundra or the 5-star rated Highlander. These are the final days. Catch the Toyota Time event now through Labor Day. Toyota, moving forward.
Based on how equipment companies sold passenger car registrations by May for calendar year 2005. National Highway Traffic Safety Administration 5-star photo crash test rating. Ratings only meaningful in comparing vehicles in the same weight class. www.safercar.gov.
Think you have a rough commute? The government says most of us are spending less time on the road.
That daily stop-and-stall symphony is now 0.4 minutes shorter. At least that's what the U.S. Census Bureau says. The Commuting in America author Alan Pizarski is not impressed.
Somebody getting home 30 seconds sooner is not going to go bask in the backyard and sit with a mint julep.
Commuting experts think it's actually taking us longer to make the daily round trip. By the way, Vineland, New Jersey has the longest average commute, with New York, Washington, and L.A. close behind. Andy Field, ABC News.
Want to lose weight? Make peace with the body you now have. A new study says women who accept their body's flaws and all are more likely to eat healthfully. They say if you focus on your flaws, you're more likely to be depressed. That could lead to bad food choices. Starbucks is pulling the plug on a free iced coffee promotion. The company gave employees e-coupons for families and friends, but somehow those vouchers were spread a little too far and too wide. I'm Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU Newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU News Update for the 8 o'clock hour. In the news this Thursday, a 19-year-old suspect is recovering after being shot by a security guard during an apparent robbery attempt. Police say the teen and three others tried to rob the First Bank at Riverview and Broadway around 1:45 yesterday afternoon. The security guard opened fire when one of the suspects allegedly pointed a shiny metal object at him. The teen was hit and taken to the hospital, but there's no word on his condition. A second suspect may have also been shot. The Survivors Network of Those Abused by Priests is asking anyone who is a victim of Father Brian Cuchar to come forward. David Clossy, the national director of SNAP, says he knows there's at least one more victim out there.
And he's a young, charismatic, well-educated priest, and we believe the chance that he will reoffend is extremely, extremely high, especially because he doesn't even acknowledge that he did wrong.
Kuchar was released from the St. Louis County Jail yesterday morning after serving a three-year sentence for molesting a 14-year-old boy at Assumption Catholic Church in 1995. Kuchar is being sent to live at a church-run facility outside of St. Louis. The St. Louis Archdiocese says it's awaiting the Vatican's decision on permanently defrocking Kuchar. Governor Matt Blunt's choice to lead the St. Louis City Election Board is awaiting Senate confirmation. Blunt appointed local attorney Kimberly Mathis as the board's chair yesterday. If she is confirmed, she will replace Ed Martin, who resigned to serve as Blunt's chief of staff. Finally this hour, Jeff Supon and Dontrell Willis are the scheduled starters for tonight's rubber game between the Cardinals and Marlins. The game will get underway at 7:10 at Busch Stadium. Supon has been solid in the second half of the season, posting a 2.72 ERA in 8 starts since the All-Star break. He is 10-7 on the year with an ERA of 4.77. The left-handed Willis is looking for his third straight win. He has a record of 9-10 with a 4.01 ERA. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by the Illinois Lottery. Play pick 3 from the Illinois Lottery. Watch for green ball, double draw. 1 green ball, 2 chances to win. Illinois Lottery. Have a ball, play responsibly. That's your look at local news for the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU, I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Chaser Plus. Northbound 367 in Parker, there's an accident, left lane's blocked. Southbound 94 Sherman, there are reports of an accident involving a motorcycle. M Highway on the ramp to northbound 55, there's an accident reported. Southbound Lindbergh at 270, there's an accident reported. Westbound 270 from 367 to 170, look for very heavy traffic in pockets. Eastbound 44 from Soccer Park all the way to 270, there's delays possible in the right lane as you approach 270 off ramps. Northbound 270 is slow in pockets from 55 through Gravois, then stop and go from Gravois through Doherty Ferry. Eastbound 70 from K to Mid Rivers, look for heavy volume going on there. Northbound 55 at Butler Hill and 270, you've got congestion. Eastbound 40 at 141 in Spady, it's heavy, and all your approaches into the Poplar Street Bridge as well as downtown, you can expect some delays as well. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Chaser Plus. This Labor Day, use a designated driver to avoid accidents and to avoid hangovers. Take Chaser. Chaser absorbs toxins to help you wake up feeling great. Buy Chaser products at Walgreens, CVS, and GNC stores. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Saturday. Partly sunny in the morning, becoming mostly cloudy. Patchy fog this morning. Chance of showers with a high in the mid-70s. This evening, mostly cloudy. Low in the mid-60s. Friday, mostly cloudy in the morning. Partly sunny throughout the day. High in the upper 70s. And Saturday, look forward to partly sunny skies with a high around 80. Currently, we have 67 degrees. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. It's Justice for Reggie. That's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
The progress is healing the wound that's below the low knee.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Welcome to Justice for Reggie Thursday. It is Thursday, so it is that time. I'm here with Jamala Rogers. Jamala, good morning.
Good morning, Liz. How are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
I'm pretty good.
Good.
Pretty good.
Okay, what are we going to talk about this morning? We've talked about good news about advances, but I guess we have to talk about something else, too.
Yeah, but and before we get started, because I know we get to that break real quick, I wanted to remind people that today is the birthday celebration for Reggie, and we want everybody to come, and we want you to come, whether or not you have your completed petition sheet, because some people have told me, now, Jamala, you had me working on all these campaigns. I didn't get a chance to get to that, and some people saying, well, can we use the upcoming weekend, that's Labor Day, we can get more, so we're going to lax a little bit, but we want everybody to come, and that's going to be at Heman Community Center, 8 to 11. At 9 o'clock, we will be doing the cake cutting and the toast.
And that is in U City.
University City.
University.
Off of Olive Street Road, Pennsylvania, 975 Pennsylvania. So please come out. You'll get a chance to both write your message on a banner that we'll have, as well as it'll be videotaped, and you can give your special birthday greeting to Reggie right on camera. So,
and also, I just think that we talked a little bit about this last week, Jamala, that you just never take for granted the impact that you have on other people. And I know I don't have the words to articulate what it must feel to Reggie to know what's happening out there on his birthday, to be able to feel, I mean, because we're all connected spiritually. I believe that when we do things like that, people feel them.
Oh, absolutely. He was so excited last week when I went to see him, and we were kind of talking about the birthday party, and he had thought about some people he hadn't remembered that he wanted to make sure that they got out there. So it took a little struggle to find these people, but we did. So he feels an integral part of that, and he knows it's happening. And, of course,
and how good it must make him feel.
It does. It does. And I have to always remember that there are many other inmates for whom there is nobody for them.
Mm-hmm.
And to always remember that, because when we talked last week about Potosi, I think Takuma reminded us that there's folks who are long ways from home because they get, you know, across the state. There's no real consideration is, okay, you live in St. Louis, so let's put you near a St. Louis facility. No, you can be all the way across the state, and the kind of means that it takes to communicate with your loved one in prison in terms of the phone, all of those are obstacles to really maintaining that kind of communication. So I want people to remember that we are doing this for Reggie because he's on death row and he's got this particular case, but there are many, many other inmates that are languishing, wishing they had somebody do these kinds of things for them.
And in some respects, I think that there will be people who feel better because of what's happening to Reggie, too.
Absolutely, absolutely. I got so many calls based on last week's show in terms of talking about Potosi, because other folks were saying, yeah, that reminded me of my son who's in another facility. And when you think about the fact that we have over 2 million people in the system, you have to know that all of us have to have somebody either in prison or have been in prison or is in the probation and parole phases. And so I think we all have something in common that we need to be really bearing down on the prison industrial complex to get some justice for those people that are in there. And not just those folks who are wrongfully convicted, but once you have done something wrong, and we made a point to say Tacoma actually did what he did, And try to make some amends for it, and is still making amends for it by working in the community and doing things. So we need to pay attention to this population, because they do come back out, and they're not in the best shape when they come back out based on what happens to them inside of those walls. So we really want people to be mindful of that. But join us tonight, University City, Heman Community Center, 975 Pennsylvania. That's right off of Olive Street Road.
Very good. We'll be back with Justice for Reggie.
With some very fascinating information.
Absolutely. To the mall to visit your Sears, why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else? Where else, where else, where else indeed. Washers, dryers, refrigerators, stoves, everything that you need to make your house a home, a palace, someplace that you just can't wait to get home to after work. Get on over to Sears. That's right, Sears, Union and Natural Bridge. Get on over to Sears and get your shop on. You have great customer service. You have great quality, wonderful selection. Everything that you need is right there. It's a full-service Sears, the only one in the city of St. Louis. It's time to get some things. It's time to get some things and get on over to Sears to get them. My name is Liz Brown. When you get to Sears, when you take advantage of the wonderful opportunities and wonderful deals and wonderful customer service they have there, tell them I told you to.
Is your church, school, or nonprofit organization holding an upcoming event, or does it have an ongoing program? We can help you get the word out free of charge here at WGNU. Just send a flyer or written information to WGNU Radio Public Service Department, 265 Union Boulevard, St. Louis, Missouri 63108. We ask 2 weeks lead time for any upcoming event. WGNU reserves the right to edit or reject any submission due to content and time considerations.
This is the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown. Don't leave home without it.
Welcome back to Justice for Reggie Thursday. I'm here with Jamala Rogers, and we just have an amazing story, and connecting of the dots. If you want to understand the value, you know, we have people talk about, I'm pro-life, I'm about life, I value life. If you want to understand the disdain for life that that this many of this people have, many people in this country have, listen to this story. This is, and Jamala, share this with us, because it's an extraordinary story.
And I want to preface this by saying, for people who don't know, that because there has been a stay of all executions by Judge Gatton based on the lethal injection challenge, you have a couple of Missouri legislators who now want to revisit using the gas chambers, that piece of medieval history to come back. But I want to let people listen to this and tell me if it reminds them of a current day situation. Fred Luchter, he was professed to be a chemist. He was a consultant for the establishment of gas chambers. He was used across the country as this, you know, expert on gas chambers. he was called to testify at a very international hearing, actually, of Robert Farazan. And these are all people who were trying to prove that there was no Jewish Holocaust, okay? So he's in that mode. On trial, it turns out that Mr. Luckner had no credentials as an engineer and, in fact, only had a bachelor's degree in history. So not only did Luckner say that anyone who went to college knew enough about math and science to be an engineer, So not only is he not an engineer, but he's saying if you have these credentials as history and you know a little bit about math and science, then that qualifies you to be an engineer.
And also, I mean, if we go a little bit more back into it, to what he did, I want people to understand what this man did. He went to Germany. Someone paid him $30,000. He went to one of the death camps. He said that he got samples from the chambers located there. And they said that he did it without the consent of the Polish government, which is strictly illegal. So that there's another question to be raised. How did he get the samples without ever being caught? Questions whether or not he got any samples. And then when he got the samples, he came back to the United States. He put out a report, a huge report, which said that the facilities that he examined could not have done what they did, could not have functioned as a execution gas chambers. And this is the guy that went around our country and testified on behalf of the death penalty.
And specifically in Missouri, he was the consultant. And when it came time for him to have to use Missouri, he tapped into Armentrout, who was the warden at Jeff City, Missouri State Penitentiary, to come and testify on his behalf as to what he had done here in the state of Missouri.
So the warden in the Missouri for the entire Missouri prison system went and testified on behalf of a Holocaust denier and gave him a credit reference, gave him two thumbs up and a job reference saying that he had done a good job here. So when you look at the history of the people that have touched the death machine here in the state of Missouri, it is foul beyond description.
And that's just the beginning of it, Liz. Luckner kept this whole thing up, even though he'd been totally discredited, embarrassed. He had to agree in the state of Massachusetts not to ever practice as an engineer, literally sign a document saying that. But also, he continued to present himself as a consultant. So in 1990, the Alabama Assistant Attorney Carnes sent a memo to all the capital punishment states questioning Luckner's credibility because he was still sort of using himself across the country. And come to find out, this man was not just a revisionist of the Holocaust and not just, you know, lying about the credentials that he had, but he was actually getting money from both sides of the fence. So he would present testimony, be paid as an expert. But also in one particular case, he testified that the electric chair was no good. But that's because he was bidding to on the gas chambers. So this man is foul beyond compare.
But also, I guess it also shows that, or raises the question anyway, if you're testifying, if you are putting yourself out there as a proponent of an instrument of death in this country, do people ever check your credentials? You know, I mean, I think we can ask the question of if you're saying I'm for the death penalty, if you're testifying somehow that I'm about the death penalty, do people ever check your credentials?
Well, it's interesting. They obviously don't do it in Missouri because when we talked about Dr. Death and his credentials in terms of being able to assist in lethal injections, we find out that he's dyslexic. And mm-hmm. Then not only that, he's had numerous violations and had been banned from two hospitals. So we're sitting up here in Missouri, and one of the things I started to really think about is that these folks must fiend mm-hmm. for killing people. I mean, they will go to any length. So here is Mike Gibbons, a Republican here in the St. Louis area, that's raising gas chambers with the kind of history that gas chambers have. I mean, it really is right out of Auschwitz. I mean, that was transported, the idea transported here in the States to be utilized. So it's a particularly cruel and grotesque kind of execution that we would at any cost try to kill somebody. I mean, because there's been a ban on executions, these folks are just seem like they going nutty.
You know, can't we just get a baseball bat? Can't we find some way to kill them? And it's grotesque. It is really grotesque the energy that people are trying to come up with a way to kill.
And here we have such an ugly history of Missouri in compliance and complicity with, you know, with a man who was a consultant, a paid consultant to the Department of Corrections, going around the country and the world, you know, trying to prove that there was never a Jewish Holocaust. I mean, he was a racist. He was anti-Semitic.
Don't matter. If you're saying this about the death penalty, we'll take you at your word.
We'll take you at your word.
And so, we won't hold that against you.
Yeah. I mean, when I heard that he said, well, you know, if you know a little math and science, you can be an engineer. And folks said, huh? It reminded me of when.
But let's also look at the fact that they made him sign a piece of paper saying that he wouldn't be an engineer anymore, but nobody made him sign a paper saying that he shouldn't be testifying on behalf of any death machine any place anymore.
Absolutely, because he was discredited in Germany in 1988, but even as late as 1990, he was still going around perpetrating as if he was a consultant around death penalties. In fact, Bill Armitrout, who was a warden here, said that he was the only consultant on gas chambers in the United States. So this man had a free ride almost everywhere in this country when it came to the gas chambers.
So let me ask this question. Did Armitrout hire Dr. Death?
You know, that's a good question. I think he might have been there when Dr. Death was hired. So you're talking about connecting the dots. I'm going to have to find that out.
They're about the right time, 1990?
Yeah.
1990?
Yeah, because the lethal executions were instituted in Missouri in 89.
There you go. I wonder if Lichter recommended Dr. Death. And the only reason I raise these questions is because when you have this kind of, from my perspective, when you have this kind of cavalierness with killing people, there are no standards. You'll take anybody. You'll do anything.
And I think one of the things that we have to admit, the fact that these were two white men almost means that that's probably the reason why they weren't questioned to the fullest extent that they should have been.
Mm.
I mean, here you have two white men perpetrating as if they are who they are not, and no questions are asked, not just by the folks around them, but no one in the hierarchy of the state has questioned their credentials.
We're going to take a break. This is Justice for Reggie Thursday. I'm here with Jamala Rogers. We'll be back. Stay with us.
St. Louis, 29 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Chaser Plus. Southbound 67 at 270, look for an accident reported. Northbound 270 at Gravoy and 44, there's an accident, right lane's blocked. Westbound 270 from 367 through 170, look for heavy traffic in pockets. Eastbound 44 from Mraz Overpass through Merrimack River Bridge, look for slow traffic in the right lane. Northbound 270 at Tesson Ferry and Doherty Ferry. Stop and go with traffic with an accident blocking the right lane just north of Gravoy. All sorts of delays down there. Eastbound 70 at KN Mid Rivers. Look for slow traffic. Eastbound 40 from Spady to McKnight. You've got slow traffic. Westbound 40 from McCausland through Hanley is slow as well. And all your approaches into the Poplar Street Bridge are delayed at this hour just basically due to traffic rolling in for the morning rush. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Chaser Plus. This Labor Day, use a designated driver to avoid accidents And to avoid hangovers, take Chaser. Chaser absorbs toxins to help you wake up feeling great. Buy Chaser products at Walgreens, CVS, and GNC stores. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Saturday. Partly sunny this morning, becoming mostly cloudy. Still patchy fog. Chance of showers with a high in the mid-70s. This evening, mostly cloudy, low in the mid-60s. Friday, mostly cloudy in the morning, partly sunny by the afternoon, high in the upper 70s. And Saturday, partly sunny, with a high around 80. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 66 degrees. Lambert Field is holding steady at 66 as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call that's up next. We'll take another look at your WGNU news, traffic, and weather in the top of the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
What is hospice care? Families turn to hospice care when facing the terminal illness of a loved one. The Point of Change Hospice provides an environment in which families can cope with the transition of their loved one in the supportive, loving, and comfortable setting of their own home. Founded in 2001, the Point of Change Hospice provides physical, emotional, practical, and spiritual care for adults and children in the last phases. Point of Change Hospice provides hospice nursing, medical social services, occupational therapy, physical therapy, chaplain and counseling services, bereavement follow-up, and trained hospice volunteers. The Point of Change Hospice also has physician-ordered services, medical equipment, medical supplies, medication for pain management, relief, and comfort. The Point of Change accepts Medicare, Medicaid, private health insurance. Money will not be a worry for you. Call them. One of their counselors is waiting to hold your hand and talk you through this. The number is 535-4500. That's 535-4500. The Point of Change Hospice. Caring for families, caring for our community, and caring for you.
Listen to the How Good God Is radio broadcast with Pastor Charles Hilton every Saturday at 5:30 p.m. at WGNU Radio 920 AM dial.
Prizes awarded on WGNU will be held for pickup at the radio station for 30 days. After 30 days, all items become the sole property of WGNU Radio to be disposed of at our discretion. In the case of event tickets, tickets will be held for 30 days or until the date of the event, whichever comes first. Prizes must be picked up at our studios, which are located at 265 Union Boulevard in St. Louis, unless otherwise specified.
Hi, this is Connie Mitchell, co-host of Women Inspiring Women's Authors on the Air. Each Friday, my co-host Liz Tanz and I explore the world of writing and interview local and not-so-local authors. We discuss relevant, timely, and occasionally controversial subjects. So come hear just what it takes to write a book and learn something new along with us. Who knows? You might find a new favorite author. That's Authors on the Air, Fridays from 1 to 2 on AM 920 WGNU.
Around the world, behind the story. It's the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown. Liz Brown.
Welcome back to Justice for Reggie Thursday. I am here with Jamala Rogers. And Jamala, you talked about legislators here in the state of Missouri, now that there is a moratorium on, not a moratorium, but the death penalty is stopped for right now. There are legislators out here rushing to fill the void of death. And there's some that are saying, bring back the gas chamber. And this is going to be very difficult for some people to hear. Just know that going into this. But talk to us, Jamala, about what the gas chamber is all about and what happens to a person when they're in the death penalty, in the gas chamber.
The gas chamber method is probably one of the most cruel and definitely falls under cruel and unusual punishment. And I'm sure that if they try to bring it back, there'll be so many lawsuits that it'll make their head spin.
It's gruesome.
It's gruesome. And, you know, one of the things that starts to happen is you can't breathe. You know, it's almost similar to a heart attack, but immediately, you know, your body is unable to process, you know, hemoglobin. You become unconscious. You start to, your eyes start to pop. Your skin turns colors. You begin to froth up the mouth or drool. I mean, it is a horrible thing. You have, uncontrollable, movements by the body, and because you're restrained in a chair, you don't see the full realm of it, but your body is going through what looks to be an epileptic fit and like a seizure. And so it is a horrible thing to witness, and because of the way that the face is contorting, so painful that they usually put a leather mask over your head so that witnesses don't have to deal with the way that you are suffering. So it is a very, very painful and ugly way and torturous way to die. And it generally takes about
5 to 15 minutes.
Yeah.
It takes
yeah.
5 to 15. And not only, I mean, when they drop this pill in and there's a gas, it comes out, after the person is dead, there's still some things that have to be done. The exhaust fans suck the gas out of the chamber. Then the corpse is sprayed with ammonia, because that has to be, the body has to be sprayed with ammonia to neutralize the cyanide that may remain. Then the body sits there for a half an hour. Then the orderlies come into the room. They wear gas masks and they wear rubber gloves, and they ruffle the victim's hair to release the trapped cyanide in there, because if they touch him, then they will also be poisoned. So you have this entire process that is horrible to watch, and it's horrible in the aftermath of it. And for those of you that are fiscally aware, it is the most expensive way to kill somebody.
It's the most expensive way to kill somebody. You were talking about ruffling the hair to release the gases. I'm thinking about the disproportionate amount of black men who are going to be executed, and the fact that you won't be able to ruffle their hair.
Mm-hmm,
I mean,
exactly.
The nature and texture of their hair means you won't ruffle it. So how do you deal with that? I guess they'll just spray extra ammonia on the head area. I mean, it's really, really...
grotesque.
It's grotesque, and there's no other way to put it. Now, the gas chamber has not been used since 65.
Mm.
And I remember Armitage, who went to testify over at the Zurich trial, said that even though it had stopped in Missouri in 65, he had been to three other states to witness gas chamber executions. So here's somebody, again, fiending, fiending on looking at people die.
Mm.
And it's just, to me, a sad state of affairs when people get into that whole death cycle. And
They have witnesses they bring witnesses in to witness the execution. And some of the states stopped using the gas chamber because of their concern that they could not seal the chamber up enough so that the gas wouldn't leak out and affect the people that were there, required by law to be there to witness the execution. So there are a myriad of reasons why the gas chamber is no longer in use, and yet in still, we have people here in the state of Missouri that are fiending, as you say, appear to be fiending let's start killing. We got a tick-tock.
Mm-hmm,
we got to start killing.
Mm-hmm.
Let's bring back something as grotesque, as expensive, and that is a sin for people to be killed like this by the government.
And in Missouri, you would have to, the legislature would then have to allocate monies to build one, because the one that is in Missouri now is old. In fact, when they close Missouri State Penitentiary, they were thinking about keeping the gas chamber housing unit open for tourists.
Jesus.
Now, that's kind of sick, but on the other hand, people need to see kind of what we did. This is part of American history. This is part of Missouri history. So that's unusable. So you'd have to then build another one, and who knows what costs, and a time when, you know, you can't get health care for children and seniors in the Missouri, then you're talking about building a $500,000 gas chamber that then requires upkeep. I mean, serious upkeep, because any leakage, as you said, would result in not only the death of the inmate, but anybody around there. And it made me think about the fact that the anesthesiologist who stood down and refused, whoever they would have to witness or be those workers going in, ought to be refusing too, because there's no guarantee that they too would be impacted by the gas. So,
and the idea that you could sit there as human beings, that we could come up with a way of killing somebody that makes them sit and suffer and convulse for 10 to 15 minutes, that makes monsters of all of us. It really makes monsters of this society.
It does. And again, because of the notion of the gas chamber came straight out of Auschwitz.
Yeah.
Why would we even want, I mean, that part of history that we said is so dark, why would we want to recreate that here in the States? But we did. We finally put it to rest. So the fact that somebody wants to bring back that dark period in our the world history is, to me, sickening, really. It really is.
And it's a reminder of why we have to be involved, because most citizens out there do not know about what happens to somebody in the gas chamber. Most citizens out there probably have not made the connect of where it came from and or what it says about us. And that's why you have to tell this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's why you have to tell this
and
stuff.
You know, Blizz, I remember in 88 some talk about this trial, but, you know, you figure there's some kooks and, you know, whatever. But to go back and then realize that it was a Missouri participant, it was the warden of a Missouri prisoner that we, our tax dollars pay. And I always have to go back to making that connection for people who say, well, I don't care about the prison system, because those people that are in there probably need to be in there. But do you want your tax dollars being used to transport a warden to other states to view execution? Do you want them participating in a trial that is trying to justify the killing of the genocide of another people? So, you know, it almost seems like wherever he could duplicate or replicate that killing, that he was willing to do it, and Missouri seemed to be the favorite place for Luther.
And we need to understand that. And we have a couple of minutes here, and I want to just kind of start talking a little bit about where the death penalty is going in other states. We have some folks here in Missouri that want to bring the gas chamber back. But here is something that is interesting, and particularly in light of this whole JonBenet Ramsey resurrection of that 10-year-old murder. There are politicians in mostly, I guess it should come as no surprise, mostly southern states that have passed laws that expand the use of the death penalty to include repeat child sex offenders. Now, it seems like it's almost like the No Child Left Behind type of piece, that you put these words together that pull on people's emotions to get you to allow them to do something that they shouldn't be doing. And there are people out there right now, I can hear them, Jamala, saying, well, you know, that's the worst of the worst. The child sex offenders, if you're going to kill anybody, why not kill those folks?
And I can tell you, this is one area that I am very conflicted about, for a number of reasons. And I actually wrote a column about this not too long ago, because what you have is people who were victimized while they were children, who grow up to be sexual predators. We didn't get any help for them when they were young, and yet our response to them when they start to manifest the behaviors that are logical and natural for somebody who's been victimized sexually, then we want to kill them. And I've had people who say, well, there's no cure for them, and so therefore they'll always be a sexual predator, and they'll always be at risk to children and society in general. But I have to say, who says there's not a cure for it? I mean, we are curing all kinds of stuff, and you mean to tell me a behavioral problem we can't, you know, have some impact on? So I'm torn, because you want children to be safe. You want people to get help who've been victimized. And we seem to always be in the punishment mode. And so the fact that they want to expand this to include repeat child sex offenders means that the line is going to be further moved back. The next thing you know, it might
be back for rape.
Yeah.
Be back for rape.
And there were people who actually were executed for rape back in the day. So,
and a lot of them look like you and me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We're going to take a break,
folks. This is serious stuff, folks.
Yes, it is. We're going to continue this conversation. My name is Liz Brown, and this is Justice for Reggie Thursday. I'm here with Jamala Rogers. We'll be back. Stay with us. What is hospice care? Well, families turn to hospice care when facing the terminal illness of a loved one. The Point of Change Hospice provides an environment in which families can cope with the transition of their loved one in the supportive, loving, and comfortable setting of their own home. At Point of Change Hospice, they provide many services: skilled hospice nursing, medical social services, occupational therapy and physical therapy, home health aid and homemakers, bereavement follow-up, support for the terminally ill, trained hospice volunteers. At Point of Change Hospice, you also will receive physician-ordered services, whether it's medical equipment, medical supplies, or medications for pain management, relief, and comfort. Please don't worry about the money, because the Point of Change accepts Medicare, Medicaid, and private health insurance. You will be taken care of. Give them a call. One of their counselors is waiting to talk to you. 535-4500. That's 535-4500. The Point of Change Hospice. Caring for families, caring for our community, and caring for you.
Connect Care, still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At Connect Care, we want you to know that yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At Connect Care, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At Connect Care, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At Connect Care, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At Connect Care, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At Connect Care, we still provide urgent care. And at Connect Care, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at Connect Care, but we're still connected to you. Connect Care, still connected to the community.
This is your wake-up call global news update. Dateline Harare. The president of Zimbabwe has issued a warning to black farmers who have taken ownership of land that was taken away from white farmers. Mugabe says either produce food on it or the government will take it away from you. He says those with the land have to show that they were indeed interested in farming in the first place. Some 4,000 white farmers had their land taken since 2000, but now there are only about 600 farms that are actually producing any crops. Mugabe spoke to a crowd at a liberation rally this week and said, quote, "If farming is not in your blood, switch to what you are good at. We want those with land to use it. We don't want to keep begging the world for food," unquote. And Dateline Washington. Here's a story that the mainstream media failed to pick up on. Before the Senate recessed earlier this month, Senators Tom Coburn of Oklahoma and Barack Obama of Illinois had introduced legislation that would have created a database that would list all government contracts, grants, insurance, loans, and financial help to make it easier for the public to find out how the government was spending the money. But just before the Senate recessed on August 4th, an unknown senator used a parliamentary maneuver to place a secret hold on that bill. This places the bill in limbo, and unless the secret senator who called for the hold decides to lift it, there is no way to bring it to the floor for a vote. The measure was supported by most leaders on both sides of the aisle and was on a fast track for approval. Apparently, someone did not want the government contracting information to come to light and got to one of the senators to keep it quiet. This is your wake-up call global news update.
Tune in every Thursday at noon till 1 p.m. on WGNU 920 on the AM dial. You can talk to Dr. Walker and her guests weekly to discuss health and medical issues. Nurse Wanda always has information that you won't want to miss. Every show is different, and talking to Dr. Walker is always fun. Call 314-454-0400. You can also listen to Dr. Walker's Medical Hour on the Internet. Log on to WGNU.net. Click on Listen Live.
Big Brother is watching, and we're watching Big Brother on the award-winning Makeup Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to Justice for Reggie Thursday. And before we continue on, I want to thank our sponsors here. I want to take this moment to thank Bishop Ward with the Church of God in Christ. Folks, that thank you so much for your support, your financial support, and for your all the other support that you give as well. It's important that we have folks out there that are reaching out and making certain that Justice for Reggie is here every Thursday, and I want to thank you for that. And Jamal, I want you to also, we have a few more minutes, remind folks again for Reggie's birthday.
Reggie's birthday, which was yesterday, but the birthday party is today, and we will have an opportunity for you to give him a special birthday greeting both on camera and on a banner. We'll have color pencils and pens. You can, you know, be creative as you want to be. That's from 8 to 11 p.m. We're not going to keep you out too late tonight. You can bring food. You can bring your beverage of choice. We will be having a toast at 9 o'clock, and the cake cutting is also at 9. So just come join and support Reggie's family, Vera, and Pastor Thomas will all be there. We'll just have a good time. We want to celebrate his life. The brother has spent all of his youth in prison, most of it on death row. And so I think that it would be very, very inspiring for him to know that we did this for him.
Absolutely, absolutely. Getting back to this discussion that we had about that we're having about how some states are widening their scopes for execution, and it's interesting to me, Jamala, that laws that have been passed to include new things in the death penalty are happening in southern states. And that's significant, isn't it? And it's historical.
It's significant, but it's also consistent. And so when you think about lynchings, the death penalty is actually an extension of lynchings. And so I'm not surprised that this is happening. But I think what's really insidious is that at a time when people are moving away from the death penalty in terms of polls, that these legislators are finding more and more ways to include and expand the definitions for what you can be executed for. And so to put a child
there
up there, I think is
there
really, really insidious. Because who's going to deny that? I mean, you look at a JonBenet and you say, whoever did this to this child needs, you know, to be hurt bad.
But she was murdered. These are men that have not murdered anybody, and therein lies the thing. We're talking about men who have not killed anybody. They've committed heinous crimes. No question, no doubt about it. It is a heinous thing to commit such an unspeakable act on a child, but the child is not dead.
Exactly.
You know, so what these southern states are now doing is creating the killing of somebody, even if you didn't kill anybody.
But here's what they're doing and what they will continue to do. They will continue to put up the sexual predator piece with murder.
There you go.
So that you only a step away from that. You're only a crosshair away from that. And so if you don't stop these people now, they will murder. And so they'll be continuing to put up the JonBenets of the world. And eventually people will put those two together, that if you're a sexual predator, you also are capable of murder.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not necessarily the case. And, in fact, you know, the data would bear that out. But I think the use of a child, an innocent child's picture as you're promoting expanding the death penalty to sexual predators is really unfair and misleading.
And not only that, the punishments that have been created in the last few decades to punish these types of criminals, these types of child molesters, are are profound. First of all, they have a database with your name in it, so that for the rest of your life, you're going to be in a database someplace. Okay, so that determines a whole lot of negative ways that you now have to live your life. Some people have to some people, after they've served their sentence, are then placed in another facility for the rest of their life.
Right.
You know, and then people are placed in jail for the rest of their life for these crimes. And again, remind you, no one has died. These are punishments that are designed to forever impact negatively on the rest of your life. There are shots that some people are being given. It's awful.
And it almost it's just one step away from double jeopardy, because mm-hmm. you actually are being punished again
and again.
And I don't have a problem with people being in a registry. I want to know who's in my neighborhood that's, you know, capable of this kind of thing. But, you know, there's been instances where people will have made folks post a sign outside the door, mm-hmm. almost similar to a for sale sign saying, "I'm a sexual predator."
Mm-hmm.
And then people boycotting, throwing stuff at the house, you know, death threats. I mean,
and let's also be clear about or try to be as clear as we can about this. Everybody that is charged, that is in a sexual register, and this is the problem that I have with mm-hmm. them, is that they're not people assume that they're all like the people that killed JonBenet, that they raped this baby and that they did horrible, unspeakable things to him. Sometimes people have to register in those sex registries that are 16-year-old boys that are having sex with another 16-year-old yeah. girl, and they're in the register the same as the person who did the crime that raped and sodomized a 6-year-old child.
And somebody just reminded me of that a couple of days ago, that there is no distinction in there. Mm-hmm. You could, and even if you take a 19-year-old,
there you go, a 19-year-old
who was having sex with a 16-year-old girl. I mean, that
a consensual
is consensual sex.
Consensual sex with a 16-year-old. He could end up in and that's, to me, that's not right.
Yeah,
that is not right, that this person for the rest of their life is equated to a person that molests children. A 19-year-old and a 16-year-old having sex should not be consensual sex. Is not the same
yeah.
thing.
I mean, it's statutory rape because that's the law. But a sexual predator,
Mm-mm.
because that's my girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it is. There's obviously degrees that are going to be blurred here for the sake of getting the prize. And the prize is, let's keep expanding the many ways that you can have the death penalty. And we don't even have to get into the fact that they are also dealing with the whole terrorist thing, that they too
Fact.
Will be thrown in here.
Fact.
So, I mean, you know, it'll be so wide, you will have to wonder, when will there be anything less than the death penalty?
And I understand how stuff like this happens as well. If we start expanding this, it doesn't stop there. They always try to get you with the worst case scenario, get you into it, and then they start chipping away at your protection. If we can kill somebody for not killing somebody, understand they're going to come after someone in your family as well.
And so the bottom line has to be, then, how do we create a society that is just, even for those people who have harmed other citizens? How do we maintain the human dignity and human rights of all?
There you go.
And so that
irrespective of what crime you've committed or have been accused of committing.
Exactly. And so, as opposed to running, you know, to the right to punish, let's see how we can create a society that actually minimize the creation of a sex predator.
There you go.
Minimizes somebody having criminal behavior, whether it's robbery, you know, for the sake of maintaining their family. These are things that we have to deal with.
And that brings us to the end. Jamala, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And I will see you same time next week.
And let's keep our eyes on that gas chamber.
That's fact. That's a fact. I'll be back. Stay with me.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight. Remember that. I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Feel the brother.
sad truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man, charity, poverty, disease, and war itself.
That all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal
citizenship. And so we say to all in this nation who stand
for the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. We hit the malls big time last month. Here's ABC's Pam Coulter.
Some troubling confidence-sapping signs on the economy were not enough to stop parents from big-time back-to-school shopping. Retailers report solid gains this month, racking up sales of skinny jeans and other teen fashions. A survey found 11 of 21 retailers beat estimates for same-store sales, including Nordstrom's, Limited Brands, and BB Stores. 10 missed their targets. Analysts said families budgeted for back-to-school purchases, but with a slowdown in hiring, a cooling housing market, and sagging consumer confidence, the outlook for the future is cloudy. Pam Coulter, ABC News, Washington.
Could be a soggy holiday weekend for the East Coast. Tropical storm Ernesto is on its way to South Carolina. ABC's Nancy Wieners in Charleston.
Tropical storm Ernesto is threatening to ruin the Labor Day weekend plans of millions of Americans all up and down the eastern seaboard. It is coming ashore here in South Carolina, but it will be tracking slowly up the East Coast as the weekend goes on, and it's just going to be a very wet holiday for a lot of people.
Forecasters are also watching Hurricane John, a Category 3 storm, which is spinning off Mexico's Pacific coast. Expect to hear a lot of this kind of thing from President Bush over the next few weeks.
If we leave Iraq before the job is done, it will create a terrorist state in the heart of the Middle East.
He'll give a series of speeches to drum up support for the White House Iraq policy. Doesn't matter, says Howard Dean.
The truth is, it doesn't really matter much what the president tells the American people anymore. What we need is a new direction.
Dean is the chairman of the Democratic National Committee. The government says it's found some fake versions of Lipitor and other prescription drugs on websites tied to a Canadian pharmacy. It's warning the drugs should not be taken and says consumers who ordered medication on Metaplan-linked websites to talk to their doctors. Dow is up 9 points and NASDAQ is ahead by 4 in early going. This is ABC News.
This Labor Day, make the most of your time and save big at Lowe's Big Labor Day event. Right now, get 20% off plus free propane exchange and free assembly on all full-size gas grills, $99 and up. Get 20% off all special order wood flooring, carpet, and area rugs. Use your Lowe's consumer card and pay nothing for 12 months on any purchase of $299 or more, now through September 4th. See store for details while supplies last. Hurry into Lowe's Big Labor Day event, where you'll get great values on everything you need in one trip, saving you time and gas. Lowe's, let's build something together.
Drop everything. The Toyota Time Nationwide Clearance Event is on now. See why Toyota is the number one brand in passenger car sales in America. With cars like the sporty, fuel-efficient Corolla, it's a great time to buy the unstoppable Tundra or the five-star rated Highlander. These are the final days. Catch the Toyota Time event now through Labor Day. Toyota, moving forward.
Based on how important companies sold passenger car registrations by May of calendar year 2005. National Highway Traffic Safety Administration five-star federal crash test rating. Ratings only meaningful when comparing vehicles in the same weight class. www.safercar.gov.
This week, ABC News marks the fifth anniversary of the September 11th attacks with a special series called Remembering 9/11. Today, ABC's Stephen Portnoy visits the town some people forget when they think about the attacks. Shankville, Pennsylvania.
Joyce Dunn was teaching first grade.
I heard a loud, it was like an explosion, and it was like the school shook.
Shanksville, population 245, would never be the same.
It could have wiped out, you know, the whole town, really. And it just landed in a field.
Since 9/11, townspeople like Judy Brandt have volunteered at a memorial to the heroes who brought down the plane.
They were frightened, but yet in a few minutes' time they came to a plan and fought back against these terrorists. And they died here in our backyard, and that made them special.
Stephen Portnoy, ABC News.
What you eat could make you more likely to get arthritis. A Norwegian study says certain foods can cause joints to flare up. Just what those foods are, though, they're not saying. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU Newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU News Update for the 9 o'clock hour. In the news this Thursday, St. Louis police believe they know who they're looking for in the shooting of a high school student at a school bus stop. The 17-year-old boy was shot early yesterday morning at the stop at Thecla and Ruskin. A school bus driver reported that a large number of young people were fighting when someone opened fire. The victim remains hospitalized with a gunshot wound to the stomach. A memorial service will be held a week from Friday at Lindenwood University to remember the school's president. Dennis Spellman died yesterday of complications from cancer at the age of 70. Spellman became Lindenwood's president in 1989 when the school was a financially troubled institution of fewer than 800 students. Spellman led a successful but sometimes controversial turnaround, eliminating tenure and banning co-ed dorms. Chief Academic Officer James Evans is Lindenwood's acting president. The Missouri Republican Party is accusing Senate candidate Claire McCaskill of failing to disclose tax returns they say she's obliged to share. McCaskill says she has already released more information than required.
My tax returns have always been available and always will be available. I'm the candidate. I married my husband 4 years ago. We file separate returns. He's chosen to keep his tax returns private.
The Democrat says her husband, developer Joseph Shepard, has disclosed information about all of his business interests. McCaskill says Missouri voters can tell when someone is trying to make an issue where there is none. Finally this hour, Cardinals starter Mark Mulder's season is likely over. The left-hander said yesterday he doubts he will pitch again this year after an MRI on his shoulder showed similar problems to what has plagued him since June. Mulder was sidelined for 2 months, but has been roughed up for 14 runs and 4 2/3 innings in his 2 starts since returning from the disabled list. The soon-to-be free agent will seek a second opinion on his shoulder, and surgery is a possibility. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by the Illinois Lottery. Play Pick 3 from the Illinois Lottery. Watch for green ball double draw. One green ball, 2 chances to win. Illinois Lottery. Have a ball. Play responsibly. That's your look at local news for the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Chaser Plus. Eastbound 44 at Elm and Murdoch, there's an accident. Right lane is blocked. Northbound 367 and 270 and New Jamestown, you've got paving operations going on. As a matter of fact, you have construction going on throughout a number of areas in the St. Louis Metro, St. Louis County, St. Charles County, and Metro East area. So use caution as you roll through those work zones. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Chaser Plus. This Labor Day, use a designated driver to avoid accidents and to avoid hangovers. Take Chaser. Chaser absorbs toxins that will help you wake up feeling great. Buy Chaser products at Walgreens, CVS, and GNC stores. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Saturday. Partly sunny in the morning, becoming mostly cloudy. Patchy fog this morning, otherwise high in the mid-70s. For this evening, mostly cloudy, low in the mid-60s. For Friday, mostly cloudy in the morning, becoming partly sunny throughout the day with a high in the upper 70s. And then on Saturday, partly sunny with a high around 80. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we are holding at 66 degrees. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news and your weather in the 10 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, talk to me, sister. I think I'm hearing revolution.
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg folks for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you.
King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that Congress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound at the below, that the below knee.
I think I'm hearing revolution through the air. Tell me, brothers, how can you listen?
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
Believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal
treatment. So we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. My number is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about. And there are many things for us to talk about. So let's get them done. We had a caller that called last hour talking about what the police did to her son. We need to talk about what some of your options are out here when you have to face these legal issues. And we're going to have a conversation this morning with Earlene Thomas so that you can get some of the information that you need legally to address your issues. Earlene, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Oh, great, Liz. How about yourself?
I'm outstanding. Earlene, what do you want to talk to people about this morning in terms of what they need to know?
Well, since we're following up with Jamala, and I've called in before when she's been on the show, I still have an ongoing concern that people don't understand. When you're told you have a right to remain silent, they don't do so. Particularly dealing with this very case that Jamala just got through talking about, because when this case initially happened, I was in the public defender's office and I was assigned to handle co-defendant juvenile cases in the city and the county. And of course, Antonio Richardson, being one of two juveniles who was charged, I was assigned Antonio Richardson's case up through the point that he was certified. And as you've mentioned, and Jamala has mentioned many times before, the way this whole thing got started is because a flashlight was traced back to Antonio that he supposedly had left on the bridge. And the police came and got Antonio, who, as has been brought out on your show, was subsequently ruled to be mentally retarded and therefore his death penalty was overturned. They took this 15-year-old child back up to the bridge at night in handcuffs with flashlights and basically said what had happened and then told him to reenact what had happened. And in talking to him, I said, well, why did you tell them what you allegedly said? And he says, well, they told me what to say. And I think also about the young men who've all been subsequently found to be not guilty of the so-called Central Park rape. These young men, I believe three of the four, actually made their confessions in the police station with their parents present.
Mm.
So even with parents present, and when they were interviewed afterwards, the parents were, well, like they said, my son did it, so I just figured they did it. People need to pound, and I believe Jamal and some other people have had programs on knowing your rights. And you have an absolute right not to say anything other than, I want a lawyer, and then shut up.
And I really think that a lot of people really don't get that. They don't understand that the best thing for them, you can't talk your way out of this. Everything that you say will be used against you. You are not helping yourself. You are not smart enough. You are not clever enough. You are not a lawyer. You can't talk yourself out of this.
Well, it's time and time again, going all the way back to Antonio and even before, you know, as an attorney, and you were a criminal defense attorney also in the public defender's office, and you ask your client, why did you admit to doing something that you didn't do, or why did you admit to what the police said you did? And the answer is, well, they said they would let me go home.
Yep.
You know, and you're incredulous. You mean you actually believe the police? I mean, this is right up until within the last couple of weeks, okay? A young person will tell you, well, they said if I just told them that I committed the robbery, if I told them that I sold the dope, if I told them whatever, they said they'd let me go home. But did you do it? No.
And that's why they pick on children. You know, and that's why they pick on the naive. They understand that the smartest thing for a person to do is shut your mouth. Period.
Exactly.
That. We're going to take a break. I'm talking to Earlene Thomas. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back. Is hospice care. Families turn to hospice care when facing the terminal illness of a loved one. The Point of Change Hospice provides an environment in which families can cope with the transition of their loved one in the supportive, loving, and comfortable setting of the home. Through pain management, emotional counseling and support, and compassionate health care, the Point of Change Hospice treats the patient as a whole person facing end-of-life issues. Skilled hospice nursing, occupational therapy, physical therapy, chaplain and counseling services, bereavement follow-up, trained hospice volunteers. Point of Change also provides all physician-ordered services, medical equipment, medical supplies, medication for pain management, relief, and comfort. They accept Medicare, Medicaid, private health insurance. You don't have to worry about money at this time. Give them a call. One of their skilled counselors is waiting to hold your hand and talk you through this. 535-4500 is the number. 535-4500. Point of Change Hospice. Caring for families. Caring for our community. Caring for you.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me weekday afternoons from 2 till 4 on AM 920 WGNU. And I look forward to hearing from you. If you have problems with a personal work or family relationship, call me at 1-800-DR-LAURA. That's 1-800-DR-LAURA for the issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU. And for the personal issues that matter most, join me, Dr. Laura, now from 2 to 4 every weekday afternoon. Then go do the right thing.
Hello?
It's speed walking day.
Dorothy, you're breaking up.
Did I mention we'd be slowing down when we pass the court where those fine brothers play ball?
I heard that.
Reduce your risk of cancer, diabetes, heart disease, and stroke. Get active, eat right, and maybe even run into Mr. Right. Isn't sisterhood beautiful? For more information, go to everydaychoices.org. Brought to you by the American Cancer Society, the American Diabetes Association, the American Heart Association, the Ad Council, and this station.
What you need to know, when you need to know it. The award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
This is a little something to help you get through the day, if it could. It was more than a tragedy, emotions be grabbing me. Plane fell from the sky, we try to figure what happened. Burning churches, fearing God, who can be so cruel? We all ignorant to AIDS, till it happens to you. Just be a man, make plans, listen to your voice. A woman's trying to make decisions, we should leave them a choice. Cause who are we to say who lives or die? Reason stops, all this judgment's on other.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This morning I'm talking to Earlene Thomas, attorney at law. We're talking about things that you need to know out there with respect to the law. Earlene, welcome back.
Thanks, Liz.
And go ahead.
And thinking in terms of when not to speak. I also caution the families of persons who call to retain me and their loved one is already incarcerated. And, you know, I say, tell them not to talk on the phone about their case. Not only are the conversations recorded, I mean, they've gone high tech now, Liz. It's not just a little audio cassette. I know for a fact in the county, these recordings are made and put on a CD. And in court, they have a voice analyzer machine that these CDs are played on, you know, that actually have the little squiggly lines so they can say, and this is, you know, this person's voice. You know, I caution families, just talk, hey, how you doing? You know, when your court date, don't get into the specific aspects of the case. And people, I mean, they want to get this, I guess, purge themselves. They want to talk. You know, I tell clients all the time, do you watch any of the shows like Law and Order or some of these others? Don't you see what the police will do when they say, oh, well, you want to lawyer up? I mean, those are very realistic as to the kind of tactics that the police will use. And they also need to know that the U.S. Supreme Court, thanks to people like Ronald Reagan and George Bush, the dad and the son, who put people like Anton Scalia and these other people on there, they have held the police are perfectly within the law to lie, to double-cross, to cheat, to say anything they want to try to get a person to talk and say what it is they want them to say.
And people don't know that. And people don't know that.
And they need to know. I was watching the news, I believe, yesterday or day before, and the district attorney who chose not to bring charges against this guy Carr in the JonBenet Ramsey case,
mm-hmm.
she said she had a call from a guy who said she should be, I think, tarred and feathered.
Let
out of
mm-hmm.
the room,
mm-hmm.
out of, on a rail. Because this guy confessed, and what people are just, they can't seem to understand, people confess to things they've always done. That Cummings guy confessed to the murders of Julie and Carrie and her sister, which, of course, he then retracted. So why is it so hard for people to believe that a person can confess to something they didn't do? This man was on worldwide news for the last week or so, and he confessed to something he absolutely did not do, and probably without coercion. So how can people be so incredulous to believe that a person would not confess after being deprived of food, deprived of water, deprived of light,
beaten,
to confess to things that they did not do? And it's just, you know, you can't overemphasize enough. On my business card, on the back, I have, you have a right to remain silent. Do so. That is so very important, so key. There have been cases that have been overturned simply because at some point the person in custody said, I want a lawyer. And again, look at some of these realistic cop shows. When the person will say, I want a lawyer, and they'll say, well, no, you don't, and they'll continue to talk. And the person will start talking, thinking, well, I've asked for a lawyer, everything's okay.
No.
You have a right to remain silent. Anything you say can be used against you, and that is so important for people to remember that.
And I also want to, if I could jump, if I can, to another topic that is really close to my heart, is this new law that's out here, this new voter identification law, a law that requires people to have a state-issued ID. That's going to be a real challenge for people to get all of the requirements for the ID.
It certainly is, and in fact, Liz, I'm going over some things, and maybe if one Saturday I can make it to the Urban Institute. It's really been on my heart to perhaps do some type of workshop or seminar. You know, I'm in a private practice. I can't work absolutely free. But maybe to do some type of seminar where people, you know, have the petitions basically with the pertinent language and then they can kind of fill in the blank, walk them through how to file it themselves. Because not only for the new voter law, most of the name changes that I do for adults come about when they're getting ready to retire and they discover that the name on their birth certificate, I'm a classic example. The first name on my birth certificate was misspelled by the hospital personnel. It's E-A-R-L-I-N-E on my birth certificate. My parents spelled it E-A-R-L-Y-N-E. Before I can renew my license in a couple of years, I have to go and do a legal name change, because even to get a license, you have to have a birth certificate and you have to have documented proof showing every name change. So the fact that my birth certificate has Earlene McAllister, I have to also have my marriage license to show where the Thomas came from.
Mm.
And so it's not just the voter issue that's coming up in November. Licenses, and especially now, licenses last, what, 7, 8, 9, you know, a zillion years. People who are getting ready to retire, if you're nearing retirement and you haven't had your birth certificate in hand, you need to send and get a copy, because if that birth certificate, a lot of people born in the South, all kinds of mistakes were made. People who have been going by their father's last name, even though their mother wasn't married to their father, only to discover on the birth certificate, it's a totally different last name. I had one gentleman whose birth certificate was misspelled, and evidently the person in a small town in Mississippi was illiterate and simply couldn't spell. And so the name is horribly misspelled. He had to hire me as an attorney to get that name changed. Mm. So these are some things that, even with the voter law kind of making us think about it, everybody needs to go and get that birth certificate if you don't have it and you're not born in Missouri. Some people seem to think you can send to Jefferson City for your birth certificate no matter where you were born. No, you have to get it from the state in which you were born.
And it has to be a certified, and it has to be a certified copy.
To get your license and everything?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in Missouri, at least with the computers now, you can go into a number of locations and they can give you a certified birth certificate for a few extra dollars right on the spot.
Okay.
People need to look at those birth certificates, and if there's even the slightest error in your name, you need to then contact an attorney. I'd be happy to work with you. I've been reducing my fees the last few months because of this whole voter registration. But as I say, there's still so many more people. Even, you know, with the reduced fee, it can be a burden. So as I say,
and what's that number?
My number is 454-1811. Just remember the last four, because the 454 is WGNU that you've known for years. 454-1811. Leave a message. I have several categories in which you can leave a message. I have someone checking the messages at least 2 or 3 times a day, and I'll be back with you as quick as possible.
And I think it is just so important that people just, it's getting more and more difficult to just be. And who would have thought that in order to get your driver's license renewed, that you may have to get a name change? Who would have thought that? You know, so it's just getting more and more complicated out here.
Well, so-called Homeland Security, I mean, the fact that my name is INE, I've had driver's licenses since I was 15 and a half. But now, all of a sudden, Homeland Security dictates that, oh, well, that I, you know, I don't know who I'm supposed to be or what I'm supposed to be. But as I say, not only if you're a female, not only your birth certificate, but your marriage license, if you took your husband's last name, which I did, if you got divorced, and you went back to your maiden name or you went back to a former name, you're going to need your divorce papers. And there's no need of arguing with the people at the License Bureau. As I saw one young lady do, you have to have it. They have big signs up. You've got to have all of that information. Certified copies in the city, unfortunately, it may take you a couple of weeks. In the county, you can pretty much walk out there, get the file, and get it the same day. So, I mean, don't wait until the last minute when your license is about to expire. because it's going to take a moment to go into court and have that name changed.
Absolutely. And what's that number again, Earlene?
My number is 454-1811, Liz.
Thank you so much, Earlene. And we'll be back to talk again. And next time, let's talk about some of these issues that people face when they're doing this child custody stuff.
Oh, hey, I got an ear for you.
Okay.
I got some cases that you referred that were just totally screwed up. This one guy said, you know, in 1 week, you've done more on my case than I have with two other lawyers.
There you go, Earlene.
I'm out there for you.
All right, Earlene. Thank you so much. We'll be talking to you soon.
Sure. Take care. Bye-bye.
Listen, folks, Liz Brown, the wake-up call. I'll be back after this. Stay with me.
Travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else?
Where else, where else? Indeed, washers, dryers, refrigerators, stoves, the best customer service in the state of Missouri. I'm telling you, when Jerome Williams sees you, you walk in the store, he will walk with you throughout the store. He will come up with deals for you. He will treat you like you deserve to be treated. So get on down to Sears for this wonderful shopping experience. The only full-service Sears in the city of St. Louis. Get on over to Sears at Union and Natural Bridge. Get your shop on and tell them I told you to.
Recently in St. Louis, some changes were made in healthcare providers. And we at ConnectCare want you to know that sometimes change can be good. ConnectCare, still connected to the community. ConnectCare is now your specialty care clinic hub. If you or your loved one is dealing with kidney disease, you can contact one of ConnectCare's renal specialists at our renal clinic, dedicated to improving the quality of life and providing optimal care for patients with chronic and acute renal disease. At ConnectCare, we have 14 specialty care clinics to serve your healthcare needs. Our specialty care clinic hub includes specialty clinics dealing with arthritis, ENT, GI, orthopedics, and a women's specialty clinic. At ConnectCare, the physicians and staff at our specialty clinics are committed to the philosophy that the best care is provided by those with the greatest commitment to their community. ConnectCare, still connected to the community.
This is Mark Hinderleiter, host of Lessons in Leadership. Every Friday afternoon, I interview high-level leaders about leadership issues that matter most. As far as I know, it's the only show of its kind. Whether you're an executive, manager, teacher, coach, volunteer leader, or the head of a family, this show is for you. You'll get practical tips from real leaders on topics that can give you the competitive edge in the marketplace. Tune in every Friday afternoon at 4 o'clock to Lessons in Leadership.
Big Brother is watching, and we're watching Big Brother. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up. Get to me. We have so much business to tend to. And if you want to email me, you can do that at revolution@lizbrown.com. And also, don't forget that, don't forget. that on a Saturday we have the Urban Institute, the International Urban Institute, and we will be showing Spike Lee's movie, that's his documentary on what happened when the levees broke. It's 4 hours. We're going to start at 7 o'clock in the morning and go to 11 o'clock as we look at this really historical and groundbreaking documentary. We're going to talk about it. We're going to each, and what's fascinating about it and what's really interesting about the way that this documentary has been made, each hour is a different story. So it's not one long continuous story. It's each hour deals with each four different issues in your assessment of what happened when the levees broke. So join us. That's Irene J. Smith and myself this Saturday, International Urban Institute. We will be meeting at 7 o'clock. The address is 1020 North Taylor. That's 1020 North Taylor, 1-877-920-WGNU. That is my number. I wonder what is going to happen. I don't know if you all heard this story out here. And it gets to I don't know. I don't know if this is just an oops story, if this is a story about always check yourself, or if it's a story about that we should be watching to see what happens with. Kira Phillips, have you heard this story? A newscaster on CNN, a talking head on CNN. She was doing the news, and then George Bush's speech came on the air. And she took left her seat to go to the rest, take a restroom break. And what she didn't know was her mic was on while she was in the restroom. So throughout George Bush's speech on terrorism, you could hear Kira talking to another woman in the bathroom, in the restroom while she was taking a break. You could hear water running and the two women chatting. There was a couple of cuss words that were used in the conversation. But I think that I can't imagine that it was not hugely embarrassing for her. One of the things that she commented on was how much of a control freak her sister-in-law is, the woman that is married to Kira's brother. And she talked about her and how she had to protect her brother from the control freak that he had married. It's going to be a very interesting Thanksgiving dinner at their family's home, I guess, this season. But it's fascinating to me just to be listening. And I don't know, maybe this was just karma. Because the speech that George W. Bush gave about what is happening in Iraq is something that you miss nothing if you don't have a chance to hear it. You miss nothing. We're at a place right now where Donald Rumsfeld is now taking the position of calling those of us who question or criticize this war sympathizers of Hitler. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? That's what we are. Those of us that criticize this war, that talk about this war, that report on this war, that speak truth to power about how we got to this war, we are sympathizers of Hitler. Huh. Huh. Bob.
Yes, good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
I think it's time, and I hope it's time, that the American people will ask the president, Rumsfeld and Cheney, how they intend to fight and win, and with who do they intend to do it, on a global war, a world war against terrorism for the next 10, 20 years. I think it's time that their plan was the Democrats should be asking them to come up with a plan. How do you plan to do this?
But the challenge in that question, Bob,
The challenge is you're dealing with people that, and in particular, I'm talking about Boy George, you're dealing with an individual that doesn't understand the English language, doesn't have the intellectual capacity to answer that question, doesn't even know what words mean. He was asked the question, what is the strategy of getting out? And he gave the goal and didn't see the distinction between giving a goal or explaining what your strategy is. That's the intellectual shallow pool that people have to dip in when you ask them those tough questions. And you're always going to come up empty when you're trying to dip in a shallow pool.
Rumsfeld and our generals and Cheney can't even come up with a strategy of how they're going to get out of Iraq or win victory in Iraq, and they're talking about attacking Iran. I mean, this has gotten totally crazy, and they're talking about a global war on terrorism, and are they going to do it one country at a time? They think they're going to let us sit around, and we're just going to attack one country at a time until we've attacked every country where there are terrorists or people that dislike the Americans for what we are doing to others around the world. This has gotten crazy, and I don't hear the press, I don't hear the people having any uproar about these ridiculous statements that George Bush is making. And thank you again for letting me comment.
All right, certainly. I think that there's an article. Well, there is an article in the New York Times today, or a commentary in the New York Times today. And the commentary is observing. The silence in the streets. Where have all the protesters gone? And Bob raises a good observation. There's an editorial in the New York Times today written by Andrew Rosenthal. And let me share the first paragraph with you. It was almost painful the other night to hear Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young sing about a war whose purpose Americans never really understood, started by a president who didn't tell the truth and then waged the war ineptly. And that was before they sang about Iraq. The audience rose for Neil Young's blast at George Bush, Let's Impeach the President. They sang the words displayed on the huge TV screens, and even the 20-somethings in the concert did that even before they stopped texting on their cell phones in order to stand up and sing along with Neil Young's song, Let's Impeach George Bush. Okay. You sang the song inside of the auditorium. What did you do when you got outside? And you know what the missing thing is? And this is one of the things that Charlie Rangel talks about. He says, I want the draft brought back. Let's be clear. I want the draft brought back because then everybody has a stake in this war. The challenge that we're facing from the 20-somethings, the 30-somethings, the 40-somethings, the 50-somethings, the 60-somethings, the 70-somethings, the challenge that we're facing is they don't have a dog in the fight. They don't have a life on the limb. There is no draft, so those of us that are clear on how wrong this war is, we fight in a different way. Others only fight, okay, yeah, you're right, but I'm going to sing this song and then I'm going to be done with it because my brother's not going to be drafted. My sister doesn't have to go to serve in Iraq. We're all safe. And we can engage in this pristine type of involvement with it. And so maybe in light of that, it's remarkable that we have that many people expressing an opinion against the war, or maybe it's not. Maybe the fact that we have so many people expressing an opinion against the war is partly because they believe it, and also partly because they have reduced their political activity into voting or into having an opinion on a poll. Maybe that's what it is. I don't know, but bring back the draft? Do we have to bring back the draft to get people to rise up and outshout, overpower, overtake, correctify the direction we're going in on our discussion about this war. Drowned out the Rumsfelds out there. How do you do that? When people rise up in unison. And I guess, you know, maybe folks just need to have a stake in it before they rise up to drown out. Because I think that's what's missing. Opinion is clear. It is action that is missing. We'll be back. Stay with me. Is hospice care? Well, a family turns to hospice care when they're facing the terminal illness of a loved one. The Point of Change Hospice provides an environment in which families can cope with the transition of their loved one in the supportive, loving, and comfortable setting of their home. Through pain management, emotional counseling and support, and compassionate health care, the Point of Change Hospice treats the patient as a whole person facing end-of-life issues. The Point of Change provides skilled hospice nurses, provides medical social services, occupational therapy, physical therapy, bereavement follow-up, physician-ordered services as well, medical equipment, medical supply, medications for pain management, relief, and comfort. They also accept Medicare, Medicaid, and private health insurance. Please give them a call. One of their counselors is waiting to talk to you. 535-4500. That's 535-4500. Point of Change Hospice. Caring for families, caring for our community, caring for you.
This is Mitch Washington of the St. Louis office of Edward Jones, located at 200 North Broadway downtown, inviting you to tune in to Radio Free St. Louis for the WGNU Stock Market Recap. Weekday afternoons, immediately following the 3:30 traffic update. Find out how your investments are doing and how the numbers on Wall Street are affecting you. That's the WGNU Stock Market Recap with me, Mitch Washington, weekday afternoons at 3:30 on Radio Free St. Louis. AM 920, WGNU.
This is your wake-up call global news update. Dateline Mogadishu. Reports out of Somalia indicate a secret delivery of weapons was made to Somalia in violation of a UN embargo on arms sales to that country. Somali officials confirmed the cargo was an assortment of weaponry that came from Eritrea. A Russian cargo plane delivered the shipment earlier this week at the Mogadishu airport. The situation in Somalia is that the government does not control much of the country, but Islamic factions are actually in control. Last month, the UN Security Council endorsed a motion to allow foreign peacekeepers into Somalia to try and stabilize the government, but Islamists are opposed to that idea. Officials with the Somali government are critical of this arms delivery, saying Eritrea is trying to intervene in the country's internal affairs. The Mogadishu airport is under the control of Islamists who actually took delivery of that weaponry. Earlier this year, the Islamic militants defeated tribal warlords in battles in and around Mogadishu. Those warlords were being backed by the United States in an effort to prevent a Taliban-style takeover of the country. And Dateline London. The BBC has gained access to secret government documents that indicate Britain helped Israel develop an atomic weapon in the 1960s and that Israel had two crewed nuclear bombs ready when the Six-Day War broke out in 1967, just in case they wound up losing. France helped Israel build its reactor and reprocessing plant at Dimona. And the British government, under the leadership of former Prime Minister Harold Wilson, authorized the sale of small quantities of plutonium for that facility, even though its own intelligence agency was warning that it could lead to development of weaponry. Britain also sold Israel heavy water and a number of other chemicals that can be used in atomic weaponry. Those sales are traceable back to the 1950s and were sold to Norway as a cover before they made their way to Israel.
Britain also made every effort to keep the sales to Israel hidden from the United States because it knew America would be opposed to any policy that promoted nuclear proliferation. Britain also sold the technology that allowed France to build its own nuclear reactor, which later led to its own atomic bomb test in 1960. France wanted to become a nuclear power when it lost the war in Indochina in the late 1950s. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update.
Hi, this is Brett Rosen letting you know my show will be on every Thursday from 10 o'clock to 12 o'clock. Yeah, I'll make you think. You may find yourself saying, oh my God, it burns, it burns. It only hurt for a minute. See you then.
Everything the engineer would move, whether the engineer wanted to buy to eat. We let the monkey sitting on the...
A voice for those that should be heard. This is the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the wake-up call. This is Liz Brown. Get up, get to me. Mike.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, you know, I think you're asking a very pertinent question here. Is it going to take them to bring back the draft and make people get off their duff and do something about this foolishness we watching? And I think the sad answer is yes, until people get... or the threat of them being affected personally in a way that's not good. You know how we do as folks, Liz, it takes our own little interest to be threatened before we do something.
Well, that's some folks. That's definitely some folks. And some folks do not move with the big picture concept. And that's, I think that's one of the reasons why Charlie Rangel is arguing or advocating for bringing back the death penalty. I mean, death penalty. Bringing back the death penalty is one of the things. Bringing back that was a Freudian slip. Bringing back the draft. You know, I mean, it would certainly make people have a stake in this in a way that would make them drown out the lies that are being told out here.
Well, I tell you, that's unfortunate. I saw this go on during Vietnam, and that's no fun. But I will say this. I'm listening to the language that the Bush people are using, and suddenly they've been introducing the word fascist.
Yep.
And, you know, conjuring up these images of Hitler and Mussolini and folk. And I would say to people here who are watching and listening to this, it's not the fascists over there we need to be worried about. It's these fascists over here at 1600 who are laughing all the way to the bank while they steal our money and steal all that oil over there and have us shedding blood to protect their interests under the guise of fighting some war on terrorism. We best wake up. I was looking at this movie Siege the other day with Denzel in it.
I think that should be required watching for everything. I don't think Annette Bening has ever had a better role. She was incredible in that. And it is a prelude. A prelude anymore. Some of that stuff is happening right now.
Yes.
It's a chilling movie, The Siege with Denzel Washington. It is
It really is. We are much, much closer to that being the actual body politics.
Then we are far away from it.
I'm telling you.
Yes, it's everybody needs it. If you have Netflix, if you have a go to the movie rental store there, get The Siege. It is chilling. It is chilling.
We should all remember what Baldwin told Angela Davis. When they come for you in the morning, they'll be coming for the rest of us at night.
There you go.
I'm out.
Thanks for your call, 1-877-920-WGNU. And the caller, Mike, was referring to the a statement Don't have to infer it. Don't have to imply it. A statement that came out of the mouth of Donald Rumsfeld when he was in Salt Lake City on Tuesday. And these are his words. Donald Rumsfeld said the world faces, quote, a new type of fascism. And then Donald Rumsfeld likened the critics of the Bush administration's war strategy to those who tried to appease the Nazis in the 30s. And the AP reporter that wrote this article, and it was interesting the word choice that they use. The AP wrote, and I want to quote the line that they use because it's significant in the telling of the underscoring of what Ronald Rumsfeld said. The Associated Press said, in unusually explicit terms, Donald Rumsfeld portrayed those who criticize Bush's administration are suffering from a more, quote, moral or intellectual confusion. He said, and the people that he was talking to several thousand veterans at an American League's national convention. He said that he quoted Winston Churchill in saying that there was a failure to confront Hitler, and he quoted Winston Churchill saying that trying to accommodate Hitler was a bit like feeding a crocodile hoping it would eat you last. I recount this history, said Donald Rumsfeld, because once again we face a similar challenge in efforts to confront the rising threat of a new type of fascism. Can we truly, he's not talking about them, he's talking about us. Donald Rumsfeld went on to say, can we truly afford to believe that somehow, some way, vicious extremists can be appeased? Can we truly afford to return to the destructive view that America, not the enemy, is the real source of the world's trouble? But some seem not to have learned history's lessons. Huh. 1-877-920-WGNU. And they're all running to the American Legion. Condoleezza Rice, I guess she's decided to put her shopping for shoes on hold for a minute. She's addressing the American Legion. She also addressed the American Legion on Tuesday. Bush was scheduled to speak there during this week. Cheney spoke to them. And there's a quote from a former Army officer and a senator, Jack Reed. He said, no one has misread history more than Rumsfeld. It's a political rant to cover up his incompetence. Ouch. A political rant to cover up his incompetence. Ouch. Ouch. You're on the wake-up call.
Good morning, Liz.
Good morning, Ike.
Yeah, I just listened to about this, what Charlie Rangel said. I go along with that to a certain point because this way you can bring them out so that people can say, hey, you know, this war ain't about nothing. That's why people are not coming out. So I go along with that strategy, he said, bring back the draft. But see, they said they didn't want no draftees. They want just the best. When this first hit the thing, when Bush come in, now they didn't dug themselves in this hole and people are still dying. But what I do miss, it's all these folks come on your show, Liz, and called in when this war started. Was all for George Bush. They don't call you at all no more, Liz.
They don't. It's
where are these folks?
Where they at? 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 You know, they're over there trembling in their. What do you say? What do you say? It's too shameful to say the obvious that I was wrong, I was stupid, and I apologize.
They won't do it.
They won't do it.
Well, we look on TV, and they moping and crying. What you crying for?
No, there are people out there saying, is George Bush the dumbest person on the face of the earth? Those are his friends. Those are his friends saying it. That, you know? So, you know.
He got heat both ways there.
There you go.
You have a good Liz, and always a good show.
Thank you.
But I said, thank you for being with you all. But thank God that somebody sent Lord, to make some sense out of our mess.
Thanks for your call.
Thank you.
Take care. Listen, folks, Liz Brown, wake up call. I will be back at you. Same time, same place tomorrow. Stay strong.
You were born with power.
Very sad. news for all of you and people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight. Remember that. I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, stop
resisting. But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever. More families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man. Tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men...